Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Thank you for being with us and another Life Perfect Talk Show where we do it more than we talk about it. That is Prophesy to You. And Wednesdays is the night that we really do that. So glad for that. Glad we can do it. Thank God that we have the ability to do it. And God is gracious to us to enable us to be used by Him. It's amazing. All right, as you know, everything in the world's going on, right? crazy times. All right, hope y'all are ready for everything. If you're not, you can get ready, that's for sure. We've been trying to prepare you for all of this, little by little. And some have been listening, some kind of half-heartedly listening, some not really listening that much, but it had a little bit of everything, so thank God for a little bit of everything. And we're just thankful that God can help us get stirred up and then get more prepared. You know, every time some kind of disaster hits, and as you know, this disaster that's happened in Israel is the worst that they've ever seen in their country. So, since they've become a state. So really, really, really bad. Really, really bad. So we're thankful that we don't live there right now, right? Yeah, hang on, get me a water. I'll be right back. All right, we are eternally grateful for the word of the Lord. And I think most of us are, at least. And so we thank God for all that. And God having his way. God showing us, trying to prepare. Those who have been listening closely to PGN and to, I don't know what everybody else has been saying, but maybe they can tell you in a nutshell if you haven't been listening. But, we've really, I think, come really close to telling you that we're there, you know. And it's hard to fathom it. I mean, to this day, even though God speaks to me, I'd be real honest about my feelings and all my stuff. Even though I'm declaring it and making it public and, you know, quote, sticking my neck out there as far as, you know, believing it enough to stick my neck out there and risk my, quote, ministry. When you're here for the Lord, you know, it's you're not really risking when you're doing that. It looks like it. Sometimes it feels like it. But when you're here for the Lord, you are, you're just doing His will. And some of the things I hear, you know, I'm going like, okay, I know it's going to happen sometime. And they start telling me, no more delays, no more delays, no more delays. We started using that word, I think about 4 years ago, no more delays on the show. And God is going to start speaking, the Lord Jesus was going to start speaking very plainly. And we've seen that happen. We've seen it happen a lot. To the point some people have gotten a little bit irritated and like, I think something's wrong with Randy because he's like getting really intense. Well, maybe now you can understand the intensity had or purpose to it. I did not know Hamas was going, Israel was going to have declared war, you know, in this major attack that happened, the way it happened. We're saying they think this is the war to start the other war. I don't know that from the Lord, but I can only tell you that from the information that I have received. And the way things have been done, just like recently, the wealth transfer, we've talked about that for many years, and then we're going to walk out with gold and silver, right? You remember that we talked, if you've been around long, you know we've talked about that many times. If you haven't paid attention, then it's going to be really hard for you to catch up. So hopefully you can. But we've been talking about that for years, and then we started prophesying 3 or 4 years ago or so, that maybe a couple of years ago, I don't remember exactly when, but it's been a while back before. About a year before Texas made it known, our people started saying that Texas might be having some kind of a currency thing going on. We prophesied that, you know, at least a year before that even began to breathe out. So just to show you, and the reason I'm saying that is to say that God is speaking through us. He's speaking through Randy, speaking through PGN, speaking through, you know, the word of the Lord. And so the thing that's hard to fathom is this really happening to us? And are we really at the end of the age and getting ready for the coming of Jesus and the great tribulation, which we are going to go through? There is no pre-tribulation rapture. So if you still believe that, you're going to find out pretty soon that you wish you would have asked the Lord more passionately about what's really going on, because what's really going on is that you're going to be here for it, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So, and powerful. We have been chosen as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, for this very thing, and yet it's the very thing the devil has said most spiritual believers that I know of wanting to get out. They want to get out. And so I'm not going to call name drinks. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. So here's the latest thing. Not only did, you know, in September, when the Queen died, September the 8th, is it September the 8th? Yeah, September the 8th, when the Queen died, that opened up the door for, she'd been Queen on the throne for 70 years. It's an amazing number, 70 years. She dies. And then the Lord had me open up the name for the Antichrist, which is Nathaniel Victor James Rothschild, gave his name, which he spoke to me, you know, about 12 years before that, at least, somewhere in there. I never wrote it down when he did it, because I don't know why, I just never did. One of the things I didn't document as far as timing goes. But he, you know, way before I got him on PGN. And so, you know, we gave that name. 3 days later, the Red Heifer shows up, which you can't even have the Antichrist do his thing without the Red Heifer. And they've never had a Red Heifer that stayed red for longer. This one here that came from Texas is still red. Its mother and father are red to this day, which tells you a lot about how this one, the possibility of this one staying red pretty much for sure is a pretty much of a done deal, although not 100%, right? And so, so this is a really, really big thing. Not only did it come from Texas, but right down the street from me. And then we found out it was one of my friend's brother that raised the red heifers, which they all was right there together. I've been out to his house, you know, a couple of times. And, you know, Brian. And so Brian had connected us with some people. And so we all, you know, God just started showing to me, you know, I mean, of all places for it to be, not just in Texas or in the United States, but right down the street from us in Texas. That was huge to me. It may not be mean a lot to a lot of people, but to me it was like the Lord's trying to do me like he did Moses, and like he tried to tell, you know, Gideon, hey, you know, I'm giving you some signs, boy, wake up. You know, even though I'm already awake, but it's like, this is a major thing. When Moses was going to go back to Egypt and have the wealth transfer and then deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was just like an impossibility, a complete impossibility without some type of high-level supernatural intervention, which was just, you know, very rare. And so here Moses was the one being chosen to be part of that. And you have to understand, if you've ever been in that position, it's a very difficult thing to, but I know God can do it, but when you narrow it down to he's going to use me or you to do it with, that changes everything. That changes everything. And if I hadn't been told years and years and years ago that I was called to Israel, and then back in 2005, January 11, 2005, an angel came to me and whispered in my ear and said, there's a massive merger coming. Merger meaning not just a couple of companies, big company merger together, but the whole world. It's about the world merger, which I began to figure out later. Connect me to the market. Give me a mantle for the market, stock market, for the financial systems of the world. He began to connect me to that, and then supernaturally proved it to me over and over again that it was real, and it wasn't just something, you know, I could come up with, proven through people who knew that I didn't know. And time after time, words came that were just mind-boggling. It was God. It wasn't Randy. It was God. So all that began to happen, and then, you know, narrow it down to just recently when, of course, we have been trying to make the wealth transfer to gold and silver or something, you know, buy stocks, buy gold and silver, do both, do what are we going to do, how are we going to do this thing, do we just invest in, you know, what do we do, what are we gonna, how are we, God, how are we going to do this thing? And though it may seem obvious, but when you actually start trying to do it in practical everyday life, it's a whole different bag of shit, friend, I guarantee you. So finally, after looking, you know, for months, maybe, you know, a year, just looking for God to show me, after months and months and months and months and months and months, and then the last few weeks, finally we finished it out, and the transaction was completed with gold and silver. And so that happened on October the 4th. Right, the very same day was when the emergency, the global emergency alert thing came out. If you're not aware of that, you've been hiding a hole, you know, which alerted every phone, every television set. That happened at 1:18, I believe my time, and I finished making that deal at about 12, somewhere between 11:30 and 12:30, and then the receipt had 11:54 on it, but it was around noon. And so here I am, you know, going like, wow, we finally did it. And I think maybe I can just rest about this. And oh my God, I can't believe it happened. Wow. Unbelievable. And then an hour later, not even an hour, the global emergency alarm went, oh, like announcing it is time. the wealth transfer, you know, like what happened in Egypt. With Israel, it was because the plagues opened the door for them to get out of Egypt and have the wealth transfer. So we got the wealth transfer, not that it's complete by any means, but the transaction was made. That was the biggest thing, was we need to, before the market crashes, you know, we need to have in plenty of time. We need to make sure that we're safe. You know, we're not going to wait till like the last second and do it. We want to be safe, you know. So I've been working on this for a while, and couldn't really talk about it much. Our board voted on doing gold bullion and some other things and short stocks. So we did have agreement on that. And then that's all they knew. And then I took it from there and just began to, you know, look. And God began to bless me and gave me somebody to work with that had dealt with some of these things quite a bit and gave me a lot of options. And then I made the decision. I feel like I'm going to make. So like I said, after months and months and months and months and months and years and years and years of talking about it, finally, a literal physical transaction was made, and then less than an hour later, maybe 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes later, that alarm went off that they warned us about. This is on Wednesday. Wow. I just began to go, what does that mean? You know. And then that was on Wednesday, and then on Saturday, you wake up to Israel has declared war on Hamas, and now we're finding out the devastation of the whole thing. And this is a Middle East thing, friend. This isn't just another little thing going on. So, you know, we've had some major things. I'm only giving a few. I could give a lot more about the market. It had a lot more things going, like with the market, some supernatural market information you've given, you know, over the last couple of years that has been supernatural. You know, I know because I deal with it, and when it happens, it's mind-boggling when God tells you. So here we are. Here we are. We're at it. We're actually watching. This is on all day long on the news cycles, is Israel getting ready to basically, as they're saying, to wipe out Hamas. Well, you know what that's going to do to the Muslim communities if they wipe out Hamas. Because I think really what's happening is, just in my personal opinion, is that the reason that they've made the slaughter such a slaughter, slaughtering innocent people, you know, killing many civilians, going into the house and raping and murdering, and you know, in front of the family, raping young girls in front of their mother and father, and then killing them, and you know, I mean, it's just like on and on and on it goes. And so the reason that I believe, the reason that it has been so provocative, is not just because they're basically animals and ruthless. It's because the Muslims who fight each other, now listen closely, The Muslims who fight each other are trying to come together. So what are they doing? They're provoking Israel to go in and just wipe out Muslims in Gaza. I mean, just mutilate them and destroy them. They probably try to give warnings and try to, you know, get the civilians out of there. But they're gonna wipe out and take Gaza over. They have to. They have to take out Hamas and cut it off at the roots, and not just cut it off at the top, but get to the roots of it. And when they do that, that is going to cause the Muslim people to go, you know, can we stand by and let the Jews, who they already teeter-totter on all the time on their infidels, and they were actually close to making a peace agreement, which tells you that Iran did not like the fact that Israel and, you know, and the Arab countries were on the verge of making a peace agreement, and then all of a sudden, what do? They deliberately and willfully did this, and it's very, very provocative in the murderous, slaughtering, violent sense that you could never even, like, we don't even know a lot of it. It's just unbelievable. So why is it so horrific? Because it is a provocative move to get the next level of the end times to happen, and that is that all the Arab, all the Muslim people, Sunnis and the Shiites, which really are at odds with each other, kind of like the Baptists and the Church of Christ, or the Catholics and the Charismatics, or I don't know if that's the right way to say it or not, but they're at odds with each other. They believe in the same Allah, basically, the same God, but as far as the way they get to it and all that, it's completely different. So they're at odds with each other. So this, according to Scripture, and Nicole might can help me out with that. I don't know if she's older than that. Might can help me out with that a little bit. But it is going to provoke them, all Muslims, to go, man, I mean, they're wiping out our people. They're wiping out Muslims. They're destroying, you know, I mean, Iran is behind all of it, looks like. It's going to cause them to all come together. I don't know how they're going to do it exactly. Make do it under covers. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to happen, but that's, to me, is the purpose of this whole thing. And that alone will ignite the war of wars. That alone will ignite the war of wars. Yeah. And here's another thing. I've talked about so many things already, but one of the big things that happened, the fact that it happened, here we made the wealth transfer transaction in gold and silver, and, you know, and did that on October the 4th. Then on October, what was that, the 7th? It was my birthday. I was trying to count with my fingers. I mean, days. Like, duh. Three days later, you know, on October the 7th, my birthday. Now, you guys know my calling to Israel. We've talked about this, and I think PGN is very much involved in all this. We're all in this together, and I'll share it with you later as we can. I'll give you more information about that in the near future. I have to wait for God to release me, but it's not just me. It's PGN, but the fact that God has called me to be the originator of, you know, PGN and Blog Talk Radio and all that as far as our prophetic show. He has called me to, you know, raise it up. And the fact that we just made the transaction, the world alert system came on 30 to 40 minutes later when that gold transaction was made, three days later on October the 7th on my birthday. So I said, God, why is the war of wars being provoked on my birthday and Israel is the one declaring the war? Well, of course, I knew this already, but I hadn't put it in these words because I was born, Randy Chandler was born to be involved in all this as a prophet and in ways that I still can't share with you yet, but it's going to shake you a little bit. And some of you may go, yeah, I don't know about this. It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord Jesus has called me to this, and I told you about my trip to Israel, how that I got in the car with a Palestinian guy who just got born again. He just got saved, and we were driving from the Sea of Galilee from Tiberias to Lebanon to meet some people in a large ministry and visit with them. And on the way, you know, him and I were in the car by myself, and he said, let's pray. And I started praying like I always do. I pray in English and pray in tongues. He said, oh, you know Hebrew. I said, no, I don't know Hebrew. He said, no, you're speaking in perfect Hebrew. Well, see, that just showed me that my birth language in the baptism of the Holy Spirit was Hebrew, which, you know, instantly, automatically connects me to, you know, Israel and Michael the Archangel, which is who I know spiritually. I know him, and he knows me, and, you know, we've connected, and it's been, you know, kind of crazy, but that's, you know, so that's what's really going on. I'm leaving out a lot of detail. So when you start seeing this stuff, and the fact it's happened on my birthday, and we just made the wealth transfer, and the thing about Israel coming out of Egypt, which we preached on for many years, and the wealth transfer with the gold and silver, and look how that happened, and all of a sudden the world alert thing began. They alerted Russia, the United States, Germany, everybody in the world. They disconnected that world alert system. Now, is that messing with y'all, or is it just me? I mean, this is unbelievable. And so this is kind of what's happening. And, And I've been wanting to share, I'm going to share just a little bit more of something else. I'm repeating a lot of things tonight. We have people that listen for the first time coming in, and I want to make sure that we make really clear what PGN is called to do. And if you've been part of PGN, you've been helping PGN, not just with your prayers only, but with your finances, then you know you're about to be blessed too. That's what this is all about. You're about to be blessed. And so it's going to be absolutely amazing that we're going to achieve this. And then phase one has been what we just kind of sealed up. And then phase two, and then there's phase three, when I'm able to share all that with you. No one knows about it, absolutely nobody. when I'm able to start sharing that with you, you'll see, you know, just how intricately involved we are in what God is doing. It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, just little old us, right? Yeah. So hang on a second. And there's a lot more. There's other things that have gone on. I'm leaving out a lot of details right now because I want to get to the real point of all of it. Most of you know of other people that have been involved with some prophetic information that has been awesome. Some of our hosts, some other people have been a part of that. And I know at least three of our hosts for sure have given some, you know, really cool words to me that I consider to be, you know, right on, and just connecting to the whole thing, you know, the big picture of where PG is going. And so this is not just me. It's our network. And so that's what we're doing. And I want to share real quick with you a couple of things. I really don't know exactly what this means, but the reason that I believe that this is the war, the beginning of the war of all wars, is because of the way it all happened. Like I said, my calling to Israel, my relationship with Michael, the archangel, visitations and dreams, right, and that kind of thing, not actual literal coming to me, you know, but through dreams. And he is, in case you don't know, I got to share this with you. People may not know that Michael the Archangel is the head angel over Israel. Yeah, he's the one who runs things. Yeah. So it's really amazing that we're connected to that. And he gives me a lot of information, connects me with a lot of things. You know, Holy Spirit's, of course, involved in all of it. But you know, they all work together, so it's really cool. And so this is really, really interesting how this is all coming together. And the reason that I believe that this is the war of all wars, number one, is because we made the wealth transfer. We gave the name of the Antichrist in September of last year. 3 days later, the Red Heifer shows up. You can't even have the Antichrist without the Red Heifer. now that the red heifer is there and basically ready in 2024, early 2024, maybe middle 2024, it will be ready if they need it right then. So the Antichrist name was given, Nathaniel Rothschild. The 3 days later, the red heifer. And then we made the wealth transfer, and as far as the transaction, and then the same day, within an hour, less than an hour, the word alert thing came on for the first time ever. 3 days later, on my birthday of all time, on my birthday, it all began. Confirmation to me that my connection to it, and of course our connection to it, as we begin. So it's really, really interesting to see this and watch this unfold. And I'm believing God for the fulfillment of everything he showed me, like way back in the early 90s, maybe the late 80s. I don't have the exact date on that, the exact year on that, but when he started showing me my connection to Israel and how it'd be used to, you know, do some things. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to be working with some powerful men of God. I don't know how intimate it's going to be, but my anointing, my mantle is very similar to theirs. And so however I work with them, however that goes, I don't know exactly, but it's all pointing together to the same thing, and that is to torment the Antichrist and his system until the time is fulfilled where that job is done. And then, of course, the two witnesses I know will be killed. And then the next level will come, and then Jesus comes back right after that, right? That's basically in a nutshell. All right, so that's what's happening, y'all. Very exciting, very exciting. A lot of pressure. I feel more pressure, and yet I feel less pressure at the same time. The transaction was made with the gold and silver situation. That is done, and I'm even getting more. I'm buying more, so I'm doing that. And so pray with me about that as I'm doing that. I purchased a little bit for myself. I don't have much to buy on my own, but I bought a little bit from, you know, people have given me money over the years, you know, way even before PGN. I've had money saved up, you know, just wrapped up in the bag for years, just thinking, gave half of it away. You know, people would hand me $100 bills in rows. And I've helped people build churches, and a friend of mine, I've helped them do things. You know, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying that, you know, I didn't just keep it. I God had me at times give some of it away and keep some of it. And so I kept some over the years. And so I'm buying some with that for myself personally. So I am doing that. I just doing that the last couple of days. And so I'm also getting more for PGN, because pretty soon the dog's going to be worthless. So you might. So what money you got in the bank? You got very much in there. Not going to be worth a lot anyway. So you might as well. That's the way I began to see getting a new bank, was just buying gold and silver. That's the way I transitioned to banking, was I just took my bank money. We took money in the bank and bought gold and silver with it. That became the answer for me. And if that sounds good to you, I'd jump on that. Yeah, I'd jump on that, like right now. You know, I mean, get it rolling. You know, you need to get it rolling. I should have already got it rolling. Because I've been talking about this for a while. But, okay, those who listen closely are doing good. Those who are not, you may have a little rough time. But we're going to try to help you, you know. We're going to believe God to try to help you as God gives us the grace to do it. Just make sure and listen closely, and all the doubting and unbelieving that, you know, that we all deal with sometimes and some of this stuff. If I was you, I would highly regard the faith part of it, and I would start that degrading the doubt and unbelief and the skepticism and the mocking of the word of the Lord. In case you know people, or you, the enemy's been trying to get you to do that, to come against the word of the Lord. You know, because the word of the Lord is what's going to save us. A human being can't do it, but the word of the Lord will save us. And the word of the Lord is Jesus. He is our Lord and our Savior. And He's the only one who can really birth us into the kingdom and then save us all along the way. Yeah, because being saved is different than being born again. Being born again is a whole different thing. Then he saves us over and over and over again, right? Absolutely. Okay, I think I'm in for it. I'm actually have so much going on. I'm not wore out, but I'm. If I got up early tonight, it would hurt my feelings. But I'm here to minister to you for however many hours we need to go. The show shuts off at 1 o'clock my time. It is now 9:30. And so if you don't get your request, if you don't get your hand up and get your hand up and let me pray for you before then we'll see you tomorrow or next week or whatever. All right. So if you've been giving to PGN, you're going to be blessed. And if you've been faithful to God in your giving, you're going to be blessed. And, you know, if you've been giving to other churches, you know, giving your tithe and offerings to other churches and other ministries and throwing a little bit our way, you know what? I tell you, if you're obeying God, he's going to bless you no matter where you're giving. You know, if you're obeying God. The cool thing about being part of PGN is that the mantle that God has given me for God to bring blessing to his people has been when you have given and help PGN, then you have tapped into the wealth transfer anointing and the mantle that God has given me for his people, right? And so if you've been giving to PGN, you're tapped into that. You gave it to other churches and other things, and, you know, if you've been obeying God, hey, you've been faithful to PGN with your prayers and all that. Thank you for that. Thank you very, very much. But if you're giving financially to other churches and other ministries, for the most part, with your money, congratulations. If you obey God, somehow God's going to bless you. He will do it. I guarantee it. It may not be like this, but whatever those pastors' mantles have, those ministry mantles have, you know, somehow that will bring blessing to you, right, if you obey God. If you've been obeying God, if you haven't been, then you might be needing to change your situation. You know, make sure you're obeying God. That's all I can say. He's the one, yeah, that can bless you when nobody else can. All right, let's take callers tonight. I'm going to start early tonight. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for being on tonight. Thanks for being a part of BGN. And, all right, let's take our first caller tonight. My first caller tonight is 202. Second is 912. Third is 214. After that, 325. 610 after that. 863, 605. 240-482, after that 910-567-804-218, 847-505, 803-991, 903-808, 303-386, 612-991. And that's the last one that has their hand up. Okay, I think. Yeah, 612-991. Okay. Other people will probably raise your hand later, but all right, okay, let's start callers tonight. 202-722, who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Brother Randy. It is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland and D.C.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Hang on a second. Now. All right. I want to ask Nicole a question, but it probably takes too long to answer it, so I'll wait. Nicole does our shows on Thursdays. In fact, I got to remind myself tonight to send that text out in the morning right now. Hang on a second. I'm going to do that right now. Very second. Oh, wait a minute. Give me just a minute here, please. All right. I got my alert set. All right. So Nicole has her shows on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and on Sundays at noon. All right. So I text alert you guys. If you don't get those text alerts, she teaches on the Book of Revelation, the whole thing. So very interesting. You want to get in on it. So if you want to get on our text alert and be reminded of all that, I would love to do that for you. So thank you, Nicole, for that. And, Lord, we ask you to bless Nicole, God. We thank you for her service to you, Jesus, and her faithfulness and obedience to you, God, how you're going to bless her and reward her in every area. It's like when we obey God in every area, then he blesses us in every area, right? And so that's what we're striving to do. That's what I'm striving to do, is not just obey God with certain things or most things, but with all things. I don't think I've accomplished that yet, but I'm getting close to it. And so our whole purpose on earth before Christ comes to do that very thing is to completely and fully obey God in every area of our life and walk in obedience and do what he says, you know, and make covenant with God in the realm of doing everything he tells us to do, when he tells us to do it, and how he tells us to do it. Right? So I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for her as she strives in the spirit to obey you in every area, God, as you call her to do that. And when we do that, we receive the full reward of that. And I thank you, Lord, that we look for the reward, because the reward is what we get rewarded for obeying you. It's not just about getting money and getting favor for us to be popular and well-known, right? It is to receive favor to do things for the kingdom of God, right? So when the Lord starts calling up the chosen few, if you have conquered in those areas, he's going to be calling you, right? He's going to call you the chosen few. He's going to call you the chosen few. Yeah. He's going to call you the chosen few. You know, and our how we walk in that is not by just doing things, it is to obeying God in every area of our life. And I thank you, Lord, that she strives toward that, God. You're going to reward her with that. And that reward is going to be, you know, good job, my faithful servant. And, well, I'm well pleased with you. And that's what we're looking for. And I thank you, Lord, that her heart has that. And I thank you, God, that you're calling her to that and blessing her for that and going to reward her in every area, not just financially and, you know, with anointing, but an anointing to function in the kingdom of God in every area. Because when every area you conquer in our lives, whether it's physical things, emotional, spiritual, you know, whatever the things are, when you conquer them, there comes an anointing, a conquering anointing for, you know, yielding to Jesus and letting him take over your life. We have to let him take over, right? And so, so thank you, Lord, for that and for the reward. That you are our reward. You are our exceeding great reward, Lord. And when we have your favor and you say, good job, I'm well pleased with you, then you're saying, you know, whatever you need to be done, that's really it. That's the winning thing. Whatever you want me to do, whatever God says, I know whenever I get, like a Job, you know, Nicole, when Job dealt when God was dealing with Job, he trusted Job so much because he knew Job had given every area of his life to him. So what did he do? He said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, just try to take him down. Let's see what happened. You know why he did that? Not because he wanted to bring trouble on him, because he said, man, not only am I going to double him, but I'm going to show the devil that I have people that will serve me even if I remove the heads from them. Yeah, even if we get that head removed, we're like, oh, my God, help me, Jesus. I'm going down. That's because it's difficult, right? So those that he trusts, he says that the thing is that anything God asked Job to do, he knows that Job would do it. That's the victory, right? When he said, pray for those brothers who oppressed you, your friends, he did it. He did it. Some people wouldn't have done it. He did it. And because he did it, God could trust him in every area. Amen. All right, my brother, thank you, Lord, tonight for Daryl Paul, and we thank you, Jesus, for the anointing of his life. And when he conquers things, and when he overcomes things, when he decides to, you know, instead of listening to the voice of, you know, the flesh in something, he decides to listen to the voice of God. And maybe he listened to the voice of the flesh many times before in that particular thing, but this time he chooses to say, I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm not going to yield to my flesh. I'm not going to yield to Satan. I'm not going to yield to, you know, my human nature. I'm going to yield to God. And every time he does that, God, you're going to anoint him. You're going to pour out the spirit of victory over him. Because you called him to walk in victory, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of victory on my brother tonight, God, in Jesus' name. The spirit of victory. Victory comes through walking with Jesus through valleys and not fearing because you know he's with you. And when you don't fear, guess what? You don't fear, you come through. When you don't fear, you don't lose. If God knows that you won't lose because you don't fear, because you know he's with you, then that's what he's looking for. And I thank you, Lord, for that with my brother, God, in Jesus' name, the spirit to conquer and to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And he just comes in agreement with you, Lord. And you're going to bless him, bless him, bless him. Amen. All right, 912-398, who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there? 912-398. Are you there?
Yes, Paulette from Georgia.
Paulette. Thank you, Paulette. All right, thank you all for Paulette tonight. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Paulette, God. Thank you for awakening her, God. That's what you're doing to all of us. You're awakening me. Every time something happens, I get awakened a little more. Like when Israel was attacked on my birthday, I mean, that just was a personal thing to me because of my connection to Israel and my calling to that nation. It awoke me a little more. I mean, I'm already awake. I just kind of like went, oh, my God. There is again. There's another thing right there for me. So thank the Lord for everything that you do in her life, God, to awaken her, to wake up all the way. That's what you're doing to your bride. You're waking your bride up. Even the 10 wise virgins were sleeping. They were all sleeping. And then they woke up when they heard the call, when they heard the cry. They all woke up. And the foolish virgins didn't have any oil, have enough oil. And they tried to get it from the wise. And the wise, who were all asleep, woke up and goes, yeah, sorry, you know, we don't have enough for us. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, Lord, for awakening her, God, in every area and keeping her awake. That's what you're doing with us. Like America woke up on 911, but it didn't stay awake very long, right? And so you can see that the spirit of the world in America was going to be pretty tough for God to have what he called a true revival. Because 911 was a major event, and people woke up for a few days. Oh my God, pray for me, pray for me. Oh yeah, Prophet so and so, Prophet so and so, he's doing really good. Oh yeah, and then, I'll be seeing you. Yeah, it's really great. And then they all kind of, okay, everybody, and they all go back to sleep again. You know, so that happens to me. Like that woke me up when I woke up and Israel declared war on my birthday. I was like, oh my God. It was very personal, so it awakened me to my personal calling even more so. I was already awake. And so, Lord, all the areas that she's awakened, thank you for that. But I thank you, Lord, for awakening her in new areas to the times that we're in, God. And all the people that she tried to help, and I know we had issues with the with numbers that you gave me on the group calls, you know. And people didn't understand. And you said, Randy, I was just trying to do them a favor by connecting them to you and PGN. You know what? You did do them a favor. And guess what? Well, for whatever reason, they didn't want it. I don't know. I'm not criticizing them at all. I'm just saying that they counted it as, you know, a pain in the neck or whatever it was. Who is this? What is this thing? And what's she involved in? What's she doing? So you did do good for them. And many of them may regret when it's all over with. When they find out what PGN is doing, what we've been doing, and what we're going to do, so you did your job, girl. Good job. Good job. And, yeah, we removed them because they were you know, they weren't happy, and you thought you were doing a favor, and you were doing them a favor. Yeah, and they're going to wake up to that pretty soon. So God bless you. Good job. All right, 214-646. I'm going to talk to you from there.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Gianna?
Gianna?
Yes.
All right. Yes, I will. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Gianna and Terrence and Tanisha. Good Lord, thank you, Jesus, for Gianna, that Gianna is just this whole thing about being awakened right now. I mean, when I was praying that over Paulette, and for the people that she you know, connected me to these, giving these phone numbers, and we made a group out of them, and they started, you know, they got a little bit upset because they thought that, you know, I don't know what they thought I was trying to do, but
knowledge is good.
Go away, Siri. Siri's trying to talk to me. You know, so we do our best to warn people. We do our best to try to get them involved in something that we know is God, but not everybody sees it like that, and that's just the way it is. But I think, you know, with Gianna, God, that Gianna will awaken her to the things that are important for her and let her do away with all the things that are not important for her and start focusing on the things that are important, focusing on where she belongs, where she fits in, where you want her, where you called her, where you've chosen her to, and that she will focus on that, God, and then her spirit, mind, and body will begin to be made whole and complete, and she will be sharp and be connected to God and be used in the gifts of the Spirit in Jesus' name as the Spirit of God opens it up. And Lord, I thank you for Gianna, God, that you're awakening her. You're awakening her. And what we're being awakened to is, like, you know, there's if you listen to 10 different people preaching tonight about Israel and different things, you're going to hear 10 different things going on. And they all can be kind of right, but which one am I called to be a part of? You can't be a part of all of it. You know, I mean, we can pray for everybody, but we can't be intimately involved in every bit of it. So we've got to find what we're called to be involved in that God has called us to and do that and that alone. You know, and, you know, it's not that we can't pray for and listen to other people. It's not about that. It's about focusing our service, what God has called us to do. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for awakening Gianna to that, God, to be able to focus on and put aside things that aren't important to you, maybe friendships that aren't needed, just different things at the time. And so began to develop her focus, God, on what you want her to do in Jesus' name, instead of just, like, you know, trying to hit a little bit of everything, trying to make everybody happier or whatever. Maybe the pressure with that is there. I don't know. But I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and I command Gianna to just obey the Lord, to focus on what God has called her to focus on. Doesn't matter what everybody should do it. We get sanctified and set apart because we obey what God is telling us to do, you know? And so thank you, Jesus, that you're going to draw her into that. Let her walk in it. Amen. And Terrence and Tanisha do Wednesdays, every Wednesday. So if you're on our list, we can, of course, let you know that. They were on tonight. And so make sure and check in with them, and we'll give you text alert and let you know when they're on every week. So they're there ministering to people, praying for people. God's really been using them. It's really been awesome. And we're thankful for that, God. We thank you, Lord, for how you're using our friends on PG and our host. God, every one of them, to one degree or the other, you're doing so many different things. And I thank you, Jesus, for the rewards, God, for the reward system. But we shouldn't have the reward system downright, I don't feel like. But the reward system is because we obey God and what he tells us to do when nobody's looking, to do the thing to do when maybe a few people are looking, to, you know, we get rewarded and we be obedient at every level. And then pretty soon, you know, God is, you know, fully trusting us with all kinds of things. And so I think, you know, for the reward level, the reward system is built around taking you from 30 to 60 and from 60 to 100, so to speak. That's what the reward is. 30 more percent than 30 is 60. But that just takes you to another level, to be used God at a higher level in every area, financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you know, physically, anointing, mantles, callings, favor, all that. And so we want that reward system, God, because we know the reward system is what blesses us so that we can go from 30-fold to 60-fold. What does 60-fold mean rather than 30? It means that we're going to be getting 30% more people, 30% more effectiveness, 30% more of God's will being done in our lives, and 30% more, you know, effective in what, everything that we do. That's what the reward system is. It's accelerating us to new heights, to new levels. And thank you, Lord, that you open parents and clinicians to that in ways that they've never been open to it. Let them see that so that we don't think the reward system, I'm not really good for the reward. Well, you know, I've said that much of the time. In fact, I find myself still saying it, right, because it's such a habit. Oh, I'm not doing it for the reward, you know. Yeah, how many times have I done that? Many times. And the Lord's saying, Randy, you don't understand my reward system. You got to stop that. You know, the Bible talks about that we should long for the greater gifts. We should long for, look for and with great expectation for the rewards of God. So how can we contradict that by saying it's not important? How I ever did that, I don't know. I'm getting it. So thank you, Lord, that they will, parents and teachers will begin to grasp at a new level the reward system and its purpose so that they will totally draw from the reward system of God so they can go from 30% effectiveness to 60-fold. And then from 60-fold effectiveness and all of it to 100-fold. That's what it does. Rewards. More favor. More finances. For what? To do more, get more things done. And, you know, the whole thing. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. And that they will, you're really going to open them up to the reward system of your kingdom and not just the way that man looks at rewards, the way that God looks at them. God is not a lot of people have made. Ken Copeland is probably the best one or the worst one that was really good at making God look like he was trying to make God into a really decent human being. And God is not a decent human being at all. I mean, not even close. He's God. He's sovereign God. God's trying to get us back to that. And when we enter into that place, the rewards of God are going to become more powerful, more effective. Yeah, I have a message about that. I mean, it's brand new. I wanted to give it tonight again, and I got, you know, I went somewhere else. But anyway, okay, thank you, guys. Amen. All right. 325-280, who would talk to the company?
It's Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris going. Thank you, Lord, for the layers of anointing, God, the layers of every layer of anointing is a layer of protection. Protection from our thoughts. It's like our armor goes from, you know, quarter inch thickness to, you know, half inch thickness. It's probably not a good example, but it's the way I'm thinking. It's like our protection level goes greater. So we can take more bombardment. And, you know, if we had quarter inch thick armor, with the warfare of, you know, half inch, it would have just tore us up fast. But we go from each level that we grow into, our armor becomes more, I don't know what the word is, more powerful, more resilient, it's more effective or something. And so that protection realm of the anointing, each layer of the anointing is another layer of protection, because the higher you go with God, the higher you go into the enemy's camp. Into the deeper you go with God, the deeper you go into the deep things of Satan. Why are we going to the deep things of Satan? How do you do that? Because when you go deep with God, you know, we're there to take territory. Our whole purpose is taking territory, not just physical territory only, which is important, that too. Every area of territory. God wants to take the territory of every part of our brain. That's why I'm working on the brain thing so much every day. And God showed me stuff, you know, that my brain is becoming more effective. And what's happening, Chris, with my brain is that my brain's becoming more alive all the time. I'm finding out that my brain works things out for me. I don't even have to try to work them out. So it's an amazing thing. I mean, maybe everybody's brain does that already. I don't know, but mine did it to a certain degree, of course. But your brain is made to, like, if you look at a map of something, your brain sees the map. Your brain is made to, even though you may not intellectually remember every road and every street, but when your brain looks at a map, it is made to know if you're on that street, the best way to go to the other street. and the best way to get to the other street, and how to get the best way to get to those places. And your brain gets, even though you couldn't sit there and figure it out yourself. So I'm driving down the road, right? And I'm going the same way I always go, and my brain goes, you know, and the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit's activating me, all of it. But my brain goes, don't go that way, go this way. I went, and I didn't even think about going that way. I never even thought about going, but I thought about, oh, my God, that is better. That's much better. And, oh, my gosh, I never even thought about going that way around it. Oh, wow. And, you know, that I didn't even try to figure that out. I already had my mind made up which way I'd go every time. So it's just out of the blue. It's like my brain knew the map of in the area that I'm in. My brain is very clear every street, you know, and it's like it just kind of took over and goes, okay, I think you should go this way. No, in fact, go this way. I went, oh, my gosh. My brain is taking over and telling me what to do, basically. And I had to come in agreement with it. And I went, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, that's a much better way to do this. And this is happening with me in so many areas. In the areas of my brain being activated by the power of the Holy Spirit for the kingdom of God is now beginning to come into fuller, the sharpness and the purpose for the brain that God gave us, that God created, is much more powerful than we ever thought or even imagined. I mean, I'm just like blown away sometimes at what's going on in my brain. You know, I'm going like, why didn't I get this before? I've always had the Holy Spirit. What's going on? Why didn't I get this? He said, Randy, your brain's opening up, and now it's easier for me to lead you. It's easier for me to guide you. It's easier for me to show you ways through things. It's not so difficult. You got one narrow way of looking at everything. You know, and I thought I was a pretty, you know, unnarrow person looking at you know things, but I found out that in the width, in the height, in the depth of the thinking of the brain God gave us, wow, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know why I went there exactly. Where am I going with it? Layers of protection. I thought that was layers of protection in the brain. Because that's what's happening. The anointing is opening my brain along with the physical things I'm doing and the things I'm doing. God's guiding me to do all of it together. It's his leadership completely. I would have never thought about doing anything had he not led me to do this. Right? And then all of a sudden I'm going like, oh my gosh. Wow. What layers of protection. Layers of, you know, making things easier for me. I don't even have to try to figure out ways to do things. My brain, it's like it all kind of already knows or something. It's amazing. And the Holy Spirit's just, you know, able to work with my brain in an easier way. It's like they're getting together without me going like, hey, let's go. Oh, then I look at it and go, oh, yeah, that is better. Let's do that. I mean, dude, this is happening on a regular basis. And it just got, and I'm just getting started with this. So, and it's all the different layers of, like, your brain working correctly. That's a layer of protection because you know what? He leads, you get led and guided easier by the Holy Spirit if your brains open up more. But the width and the height and the breadth of the wisdom of God, if you're open to that, then, you know, it protects you. It keeps you from things. You think things through. You invent things. You make things. You know, I mean, it's amazing. So I thank you, Lord, for unveiling him with that anointing, God. The different layers of protection in the way that, you know, like I would never thought my brain being a protective thing. My brain protects me from a lot of stuff, you know, because the Holy Spirit is able to quickly and easily go, you know, don't do that, do this. And my brain kind of already is made to do that because God made the brain. He knows exactly, you know, how the brain's made. He just kind of barely breathes on it and the brain goes, okay, hey. And then all of a sudden, I'm sharp and quick on some things. Some things I'm still as dingy as ever, right? Some things. But for the most part, you know, it's amazing, the change. And it's keeping me, it's protecting me, it's giving me the ability to rest more and take it easy more. And when I first stressed out, and I still stress out sometimes, that I find myself, okay, you know, I'm able to get a hold of myself. Okay, relax, chill out. And then I say, Lord, what's going on? You know, that simple stuff. And then he just shows me. He just shows me. And this is for everybody. Everybody who has a brain, when we get our brain activated and through the process God has given me by the Holy Spirit, then we're gonna outsmart everybody, not because of intellectual, but because of the Holy Spirit activating our brain. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing. It is amazing. Anyway, I don't know where I went with that exactly. Layers of protection. You know, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, that's where I went. I went layers of protection and started thinking. And I mentioned one of the layers of protection is the protection of thinking, our emotions. That's where I went. Now I just realized that. That's amazing. Y'all, this is all totally spontaneous, so you have to understand. You know, I don't have this written out anywhere. I'm not looking at anything. This is just raw, pure go. So thank you, Jesus, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for your loving him, God. Thank you for your calling him. Thank you for giving him inventive and creative ways on how to make trucks run faster and better and easier out of, you know, the wise people get a lot of stuff, you know, how to make engines go and motors go and wheels go and, you know, transmissions go and all that. I tell you, God knows about all of it, bro. You know that. He knows about all of it. And he can take something that nobody's ever invented before and come up with a completely new idea, or he can take ideas other people have had and add to them into a way that it accelerates the usage of something to, you know, a lot more. I told you how he fixed my transmission for me, right? I know nothing about transmission. I've never worked on a transmission in my life. I've seen them, you know, the inside of them, driving on the road, sports are having problems, and the Holy Spirit said, do this, do this, and do this. Long story short, I started doing it. And I mean, the transmission, Ford transmissions are known to be trashed. Trash. Well, guess what? Mine became a piece of trash pretty quick, and I was totally discouraged and started panicking, started freaking out. Oh, my God. Money down the tube because I didn't check. You know, I didn't do it. And the Holy Spirit said, start showing me visions of the inside of a transmission and showing me how they were loose and showed me how to tighten them up by driving. It's amazing. I mean, he knows about all that stuff, and I know nothing about it. Can you imagine if somebody knows something about it and how he can take that and give them information about stuff and make things work? So let your mind go in God, bro. Let it really let go. Let the height and the width and the breadth of the wisdom of God give you things. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay. All right, 610-969. Can we talk to your friend, please?
Shalom, High Prophet Randy. Shalom, High Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA.
Hi, Lisa.
And,
okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
And I'm just asking for a prayer for Andre with his son, Alex. Thank you.
Aubrey, you're welcome. Okay, you're welcome so much. All right, Aubrey with his son, Alex, I think is his name, right? You didn't say his name, but I think his name is Alex. Well, we just thank you, Lord, for that, the heart you've given Aubrey to help his son, knowing that what he's gone through, and let him find ways to break his heart in new ways, God, over his son. Use this situation to break his heart and to remake his heart, that he is, you know, trying to salvage and bring salvation, if you will, to his son, to save him the heartache and pain that he's gone through, God, which he knows full well how deep and painful that is, that he wouldn't want his own child to go through that, God, that he will, and feeling responsible and all the condemnation stuff that comes along with all that, condemn him. I take authority over that, and I cast that down in his mind, that he will understand that some of the stuff he gets isn't the Holy Spirit correcting him. Sometimes it's condemnation trying to condemn you. The Holy Spirit definitely corrects us, definitely chastises us. But the way he does it is completely different than the devil in our minds. So thank you, Lord, for that, and help him, and let him feel like, you know, in helping his son, he's going to be helping himself, God. In helping his son, he's going to be helping himself. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Lisa tonight. Bless her, God. Open her up, Jesus. Show her all the things that we need to repent of, that we need to change. Repentance isn't just says we did something bad and wrong and changing, but things we need to change, the way we process information, who we listen to, who we, pass on their, their information and it's not correct, and they use us to harass people or whatever. There's all these different things that God is showing to people, because people will, in trying to help somebody, they'll believe what somebody says, and then they'll take action because they're an action person, and they end up getting in the flesh, and all because they've listened to people who are very sincere about their thing, and they've been totally, totally wrong about it all, and we end up being used by that. And we do it with sincerity and love and compassion, but still wrong is wrong, and so repentance is asking God to show us what information is really truly from God. Some natural information can be partially true, but the deception behind it all is to bring deception upon you and for you to believe it and then act upon it. And then when you act upon it, you bring that upon yourself. So what repentance does is it changes our mind on we go through the process of proving somebody, like Jesus said, go to them privately. But when you go publicly and try to do something, it's going to bring that double shame on you and double the judgment of God at whatever level God does that. So repentance causes us to, do things the Bible way. That way we don't get caught up into people's rumors and their so-called truth that they have. But we get caught up into what God is doing and what he wants. And so I thank you, Jesus, for helping her to helping all of us to do that, where we don't take people's information sincerely as they are, as much as they mean it, as much as it sounds like the truth, that we go to God first, and that way we don't get caught up into bringing judgment on people and praying, praying in line with the false information, and then we bring that judgment on ourselves, and we cause all these problems for ourselves. And Lord, I thank you that the whole body of Christ does it. Yeah, very influential people who just will swear up and down they know the truth about something and kind of find out all they did was listen to somebody and fell for it, and they ended up under the judgment of it because they passed it on like it was true without going through the process of finding out the real truth. And so it's something that God's trying to teach his whole body to do so that we can stop ourselves from going in circles over and over and over again with things, to repent, change our minds about how that we listen to people and process their information. You know, we've all done it. I've done it. We've all done it. And so God's really going to show you how to do that so that you, number one, don't bring judgment on yourself and your family at whatever level that is, but also that we don't increase the judgment that will come on the people that tell us this information. Because when we pass their information along, we're multiplying their seed, their words, their information. When we multiply theirs by going after somebody or doing something, then what we do is we cause the people that gave us that information to even be judged more harshly because we agree with it, right? So this goes on in the body of Christ all the time. And God is saying, I want to stop it because it's bringing sickness and disease on people in all kinds of realms. And so God's really going to use you to show you how to do that. And do things a biblical way instead of, taking out something on somebody because you believe what they said because they sounded so sincere. And you're compassionate and you want to help people. And that other people not use your compassion to let them do their own dirty work. Let them do their own dirty work. I've known about this stuff for a long time. It happens a lot. But I know some specific details of things that people have done, and I know who they are and what their names are. I don't worry about it because, when you're doing God's will, God's going to show the world that he's on your side, and all those who decided that they, they're going to be shamed. And instead of being blessed, they could have been part of the blessing, and yet being part of the shame thing and the loss of even the financial blessing because we you know, we did things that we just knew were true because somebody told us, and we really know they wouldn't lie, and yet they were lying. Lying is they got half-baked truth with a deceptive motive behind it to do a number on people. So we're seeing this across, I could name every person on every church I've ever been a part of, every person in the body of Christ who does this stuff, some at more levels than others. Some people are really careful about how they deal with information people tell them. And therefore they save themselves a lot of trouble. I know some people that they just, even my mom and dad said, you know, my mom and dad taught me, not that I did it that well, but they taught me about putting your mouth on people and, you know, with what other people say about them, good people telling us things about people. And then we believe that and pass it on. And so God's really shown us how to deal with that. And God's going to use you to teach people how not to do that. But we've all been guilty of it. God knows I have. All right. Okay, all right, 863-605, who's
talking to me, please? Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki. And could you pray for Christian, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Christian. You know, thank you, Lord, for his life, God. We thank you for the victory in his life, Jesus, that you're wanting to, you know, bring victory, showing what victory looks like. You know, sometimes when the world falls apart, children can be tough to a certain degree. They can, something in them kicks in and they, to a certain degree, they fight it, you know. And then when, you know, as they get older and things kind of change a little bit, then that, all that stuff that they had locked in them, you know, begins to come up and out. And it didn't destroy them, but it did. It got buried in them. Things get buried. I've had things buried in me. I don't know anybody who had got things. We've all got stuff buried in us, right? And so we'll fight it, never say a word about it. And then all of a sudden one day, like a seal breaks, and the hurt and the pain begins to come out in different ways. Because we thought, man, I thought they were doing okay. I thought they were fine. So any area that he's dealing with that, where Chris is dealing with that stuff, God, we thank you, Lord, for helping him to let it out properly, get his pain out so that it won't affect him in ways that he won't even know. Most of the time, our pains that are so deep, when we get older, they affect us in ways we don't even know. We don't even connect to that. It's been so long ago, we don't even connect it to the reason we're acting out on something is because of what happened, you know, 15, 20 years ago. We don't even know that we're doing it. We're you know, they don't have a clue. And so thank you, Jesus, for Christian, God. You help him, God, to Nikki and Charles have prayed for him, to help him to get things out of him that he had to bury, you know, for a season, to just bear with the situation and do his best to handle it. But sometimes when it starts coming out, people just need a little help to unravel it and the grace of God so that it doesn't stay with us all of our life. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing him, giving him wisdom, Jesus, and giving him knowledge of how to handle things. Amen. How to handle life. Handling life. Like I was just talking with Lisa about handling life. Handling life, man, the information we get from people, from the news, from churches, from church leaders, from prophets, giving us false prophecies, giving us, you know, good prophecies, all the information we have to deal with. Life is a matter of dealing with processing information. And most of the time, we don't do very good at it, you know. So I think you're also helping Christian to process things through, God. He'll find people that will help him in Jesus to process things through so it can be processed properly. And it can be healed and be used to help protect people and keep them and walk over them like a shepherd. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nick and Charles. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the compassion in them, Jesus, to help people, to do the right thing, to do the God thing, God, and not tying strings to, you know, people tie strings to us. They, you know, they do something for us or we do something for them, and we get that string tying thing going on. And we have to constantly deal with that because that's the way we're raised. Human nature is in our families, you know, and, you know, our parents teach us, you do this for this, you do this for me, and I'll do that for you. There's nothing really wrong with that, but we get to that place to where we're going to walk in total freedom. We just don't tie strings or let people tie strings to us in any fashion or form, whether it be a pastor, a leader, a political person, you know, children, all that. And to not let people tie strings to us or us tie strings to them. And cutting all the strings loose. Yeah, letting God have it all. And even the areas that we think that we've done it and we haven't, I've dealt with this before. It's kind of scary when you don't work from one of your best friends. I think you have some things that you think you've dealt with, but you haven't really dealt with it. I'm like, I did not want to hear that. But, brother, was it true? And I never even had a clue. Didn't have a clue. But that next morning or so, I woke up in the middle of the morning and just, like, waiting. I mean, like, my God, what is going on? It was like, it wasn't coming out of me just kind of like, nice. It was coming out of me, my God. I mean, it was really rough. And, wow. You know, so we have stuff locked up within it. And so thank you, Jesus, for... Because the thing I was dealing with that he told me, he said, you think you dealt with it, but you haven't. So what it ended up being was all the people that I disappointed. Whether I disappointed them or not, I don't know. But I felt like I did, right? And the strings that they had tied to me and the strings I had tied to them without even knowing that I had done that. And when everything didn't go perfectly exactly like it was supposed to happen, working or whatever the thing was, whether it was a business deal or a friendship or, you know, whatever. The disappointment in all that, and I realized all that string tying that had gone on. It just goes on in life. It just happens. Not evil people, not carnal people. It's life. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. You know, what husbands do with wives. Well, you be really good to me, honey, and you know what? And, you know, you take it. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it just kind of goes on in life, you know. So the Lord is teaching us to freely give and freely receive. So that when we receive from people, we don't feel obligated to them for anything. We're totally committed to God. Say, God, thank you for this blessing. I have no strings attached to them. They have no strings attached to me. If you tell me to do something for them, I will do whatever. If you tell me to give it back, I will give it back. If you tell me to give it back and double it, I'll do that. Whatever you say, or not give them anything ever. No strings attached whatsoever. Because what the enemy does in the fleshly realm is he gets us attached to each other, tying strings to each other. You owe me, I owe you. And so this is a thing, man, that God is like showing me more and more all the time how this is in and totally through the body of Christ. And it's all about if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And wow, the bondage from hell over that. We got to let people cut the strings and let people do whatever God leads them to do. Instead of like, you know what, you owe me. He's like, we're with our children. My mom and dad kind of dealt with me a little bit, you know. And it was just normal. Not bad people. My parents are giving me, you know, they didn't say you owe me, but it's kind of like, and so, in a sense, the Bible says, you know, pay back your parents, but it's doing it from the Spirit of God. Not because if I don't, you're not going to love me. We do things, we're motivated. Like when God says you owe your parents, that's a whole different thing than your parents saying that you owe them, you know, or whoever you owe. When God says, you know, you owe your boss, then that's God saying you owe your boss. There's no strings attached to it. It's a God thing. So thank you, Lord, for that and the freedom that you're going to bring with that in Jesus' name and the prosperity and the blessing. Because when we walk in the freedom of giving and receiving at higher level, that, you know what? Hey, we've become connected to the unlimited realm with God. Why? Because we're not tying strings. We're not obligating. It's free to you receive, free to you give, period. And this whole merchandising realm, the body of Christ, has got people so tied up and so, you know, the bonding, and it's amazing. And they'll sit there and tell you they're not doing it. But we all know that we do. And you know what? I ain't going to have it. Sometimes God will have me deliberately and willfully not help somebody with something because I know they got a string tied to me. The Lord says, that's the string, Randy. Don't do anything. That's the string. Give them to God. Let me guide. Let me lead. Let me do. And if I want you to do something, I'll tell you to do it. But don't do it because they obligate you for whatever that reason is. But it's my kids, you know, my loans you money, you loan them money. No strings attached. That's why Jesus said, if they don't pay you back, it's just what you're talking about. No strings attached. Yeah, I don't like that one. I was like, what? $5,683, that thing? Well, that was a big one on that one. Said, yeah, they should have paid. They should take care of the business. But you know what? Cut the string, Randy. Give it to them. Let them have it. And then what did he do? He doubled me. An attorney fee that I had at FCC attorney fee. Mind boggling. Why? Because that's cutting strings. I will not let you, body of Christ, you business people, you, whoever they are, I deal with people every day, I will not let you, we got to say this, I will not let you tie strings to me and obligate me that I owe you anything. I'm going to let God tell me. It's his payment system, and he tells us who to pay and who not to pay. If we're all being God, we're going to get paid one way or the other, but it all needs to be from God. And it's something new, y'all, with me. I mean, God's really just like dealing with me about this at levels. And, boy, it's hard because some of that string time gets pretty heavy. Oh, my God, stuff, man. Woo! You don't bow down to that. You're going to be thrown into the flames. I've been thrown into the flames. I have. Wow. You know, it's amazing. So, anyway, freely you give, freely you receive. Amen. And keep it going out like that. That's the awesome. All right. So just call blessings. All right, 240-42. You want to talk to your company?
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. All right, Valerie, thank you. You listen to that. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing around God with Valerie, God, to show her how to be truly blessed. It's one thing to be blessed by human beings and blessed with, there's different levels of blessings. You know, there's a hundredfold blessing. There's just different levels of blessing. And so so God's showing you the level, you have to choose the level of blessing that you want. And, you know, if you want, it's all according to the measure. Good measure, pressed down, shake together, men given to your bosom. You know, it's the measure that we give, not the amount. The measure. If I got $100 and I gave $50 to you, you know, or somebody, and I get 50%. But somebody else had $1,000 and they gave $50. It looked like maybe they gave $100. They looked like they gave more than I did. And that person, oh, man, thank you for that $100. Oh, yeah, thank you for that $52. Oh, man, that $100 bill. Oh, wow, thank you. But in all truth, God sees it like, you know, the guy who gave the 50 out of the 100, and that's all I had, and the other guy gave 100 out of the 1,000, you know, what measure? So this is a whole other realm that God's opened up to. What measure of blessing do we want? So when we give and help other people or do what God says, you know, the measure of blessing that comes back to us is according to the measure that we have, you know, the measure we give, not the amount. Right. It's the measure. So what measure do we want? Like the Lord says, choose you this day what measure you want, because it's up to us. It's up to us, the measure that we want back. Some people just want to barely make it. That's because they give a barely make it measure. People want to get blessed. They start out learning how to start giving, you know, that level of blessing that you want. One of these days, you're going to literally come back. Sometimes it may not happen overnight. It may take time. But, yeah, just the lucky thing with PGN and the mantle of transfer of wealth and the gold and silver and all that, I mean, that's going to be coming back to PGN people according to the measure. With the measure. And in what measure it's so when we help, we do what we do, it's like, well, how come that's it? I mean, it's a measure thing. So we're learning how to deal with all that unto God. This is all unto God. God is the only one who does things by measure and by percentage. And so the whole world, they'll reward you according to how good you look and what you're doing. Right? And they spent a whole hour in prayer. Yeah, but they had 10 hours. You know, so they spent a whole hour in prayer. They only had 2 hours all day long, and they spent a whole hour in prayer. Who spent the most? Whose prayer life was the most? You know, the length of time with God. The one who had 1 hour, but he only had 2 hours. You know, the other guy, it's like there was basically nothing. And so, what measure do you want? You know, let it be done. The measure that you give will be the measure that's given back to you. The percentage you give will be the percentage you get back. Some people are going to get really blessed. The widow's mite, you only gave a couple of pence, and the other guy's giving millions. I mean, they had billions, but that's all she had. But Jesus said, this woman here, that's why I wrote a short movie about her and what my opinion about how she got blessed. I have a short story about that little movie thing that I wrote the script on. And it's pretty amazing, man. How that girl, I mean, my God, in the script that I wrote, it was just amazing. I've heard talk about it a few times with PGM, but it may not happen overnight, but when it comes, it's going to be like Joseph. One day it's like, you know, Joseph got blessed because the hell he went through, and his attitude and the measure of giving back to God, ministering for God, doing what God wanted in spite of the injustice that he had suffered, his measure was like 1,000-fold or not more. Yeah. He chose a large measure. He was chosen for the measure, a large measure round, and he agreed with it. All right. Choose you the measure. Amen. All right. Let God bless you. Whatever level you want. You'll get the blessing, the amazing that you get, your time, whatever it is. All right, 910-567, who am I talking to from?
Hello, Randy. We're getting prayer for Lynn in California and Tara in North Carolina. It's T-E-R-R-A, Tara.
Okay, hang on a second. T-E-R-R-A. And who?
Lynn in California.
Lynn in California. Okay, thank you. All right, Faye, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, thank you, Jesus, for, when the harvest comes home, you know, when things keep start coming back to us, you know, thank you, Lord, for care, God, that the things that come back to her, God, that, you know, some areas I have, I've had great blessings come back to me. Other areas, it's been a lot less. Some areas, you know, it's like nothing. So I'm believing God, Tara, for myself personally to get the highest level of 100-fold blessing in every area of my life and doing this thing of obeying God no matter what. No matter what. Like what we've done here at PGN just recently, just in the last few years, is we've taken the money that people have given over the years, and if they were giving to PGN financially, and we take that money, that their money, stored it up, right? Didn't realize that's what we're doing it for, and then God says, I want you to take that money, and I'm going to increase and multiply it as we deal with gold and silver, and then when the market crashes, the wealth is going to be out of that. It's going to be, for my people. And you're going to give that, that portion, those portions to those people that have done that. And I'm kind of like going, but God, we need that. We need that for the ministry. We need to build a building. We need to have a ministry. We need to buy acres. We need to, he said, yeah, exactly. That's why I want you to do this. I'm going like, that didn't make any sense. That's why you want me to do it. I'm going to take all that money, give it to them. I mean, I was going to do it no matter what, right? But I was trying to figure this thing out. And so what happened was he brought me to the servant realm of saying, I want you to be a great servant, Randy. Great servant. You know what a great servant is? He does whatever I say no matter what. Didn't make any sense. Doesn't make any difference. Just do it no matter what. And I go like, okay, so we did that. It's done now. Basically, we're waiting for the harvest of it, but it's sealed. And as of October the 4th. And so, you know, when I, by the grace of God, did it in spite of everything in me that went, that doesn't make any sense, except for the fact that God said it. That's the only thing that makes sense about it. And then I started looking at it the way God, you know, looks at it, in that we need building, we need land, we need property, we need this. He goes, yeah, what better way to do it than blessing my people? It's like that's what he told me. He said, what better way for me to bless you than you to disrobe yourself, if you will, in what your vision, what your purpose, what you're trying to, and bless my people. And when you bless my people because I told you to do it, then I'm going to bless you way beyond, you know, the ministry, way beyond anything you could think or even imagine. And then I started going, man, that's why Jesus said when you become the greatest servant becomes the greatest. Why? Because that, you know, to me, that, you know, that's a great service realm, a great servant realm. And it was God's idea, not mine. I wish I could take credit for that. But when I started seeing his way, I'm going like, oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. And God, this is how you're going to bring the answer to everything. It's the answer to everything. In a great, serving greatly, you know, doing things no matter what. Doesn't make any sense to, you know, take the money and give it away to your people who live in sort of, you know, it's like, I mean, it makes sense to do that, to give and help people, but the way this is happening on the inside is just unbelievable. I've never heard of it before. And God started showing me the strategy behind that. So thank you, Lord, for Tara, God, that you show Tara how to serve and how to think about what servanthood does and how to become, you know, the servant that you want her to be, and to open up her mind, God, to the effectiveness of how we think and going beyond ourselves. Most of the time we're trying to do things for ourselves. We protect ourselves. We make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. We do all that. And not anything really wrong with that. That's the level of blessing that we have. But when God says, you know, if you'll disrobe yourself, if you'll, you know, lay down your life and do what I'm asking you to do, then when you do that and I see that I can trust you with anything, that's what Joseph went through there. He was seeing if he could be trusted with nothing and still do God's will. The highest level, and he did. And God goes, I can trust this boy with all kinds of wealth. All the grain of all the whole world would come. He's going to save it up and he's going to save the world. Yeah, because he became a servant with injustice and all kinds of things. So thank you, Lord, for care of mind and heart, God. Show her how to, the only way we can think like that, Tara, is only by the Holy Spirit. In our own humanness, like with me, I couldn't figure out what you want to do. What? I thought, what? And when I started asking him what, he started answering me. And when he started answering me, it was the most amazing revelation I've seen. I know that in stepping out and helping others is what we do. But this is not that. This is a completely different realm. This is within the tithe and offerings of the ministry, which is a completely holy thing to God. Not just taking, you know, 50 bucks by 100 and helping somebody and going, I haven't helped before. And therefore, God will bless me. I know that principle. But this is the tithe and the offering. The tithe and offerings go to God, period. You know, yeah, you got to pour in the needy, but, you know, we're talking about the overall, like, massive amount of it. You know, but, wow. That was just the most. So, Lord, show her how to think, how to understand, and how to get that wisdom that you want her to have. The wisdom from above is much different than the wisdom from beneath. It's always about taking care of ourselves and what's good for us. Nothing wrong with that. You know, but then when God says, now I want you to take it and and give it away. Like, I gave you Isaac, now I want you to give him away. Like, I want you to kill him. Like, oh, that didn't make any sense. And then God ended up blessing him way beyond. Way beyond. Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for Tara, and bringing healing and ministering the Holy Spirit to her, to Tara, in Jesus' name, and break the bondage of oppression, Father, where she can begin to think in the love realm more than ever before. Bring her to higher levels of your love, Jesus, so she can activate, you know, the more 3,600 folks, the higher levels of love. She can abundantly above all she can actually think or even imagine, in Jesus' name, to bring healing to her soul. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, and Lynn in California, thank you, Lord, for Lynn. God, we thank you for Lynn, God, that you, you know, everything that we do that's against the Word of God and don't know it, just things that we do, things we don't know, things we're ignorant on, and I think the Lord, you're going to give Lynn the knowledge of how to do things according to the Word of God and making sure that she's on a solid foundation, because anything we do without the solid foundation of doing it from the inspiration or the revelation of the Word of God, it's going to be sinking sand. It may work for a while, it may look good for a while, but eventually it's going to fall apart. You know, I've had many things in my life just that fell apart because I built them on my own understanding, my own way of thinking, and God says, when are you going to start building things on my Word? And basically just doing what I say, even when you don't understand it or agree with it, like the Trump thing. I didn't agree with that when God told me that. What? You're going to have Biden? What? What? Yeah, and then he starts showing me why, and I went, oh, wow. So thank you, Jesus, for Lynn, God, that you give her the grace and the wisdom, God, on how to proceed forward in Jesus' name, how to come out of the debt realm, the spirit of debt in the forgiveness realm and all that. It's all connected together, how we forgive. Jesus died on the cross and forgave us all of our sins, but it also breaks the financial debt, too, because it's all connected. And I thank you, Jesus, for breaking the spirit of debt, Father, off of her and open her up to your love, God, and your provision in Jesus' name. And then in the family, bring her true family, God, true family. She said, my mother's brother knows to hear the word of God and do it. Amen. And that's our true family. Even though we want our physical family, of course, to be that, but Jesus said even a prophet's not welcome in his own family, because that's just, they just can't comprehend. They have hard to understand. Anyway, okay, thank you both for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And, oh, yeah, bless Faye, God. Thank you for Faye, God. Thank you, Jesus, for Faye, for the freedom you've given her, God, to worship you, the freedom to come out from where her body begins to be cleansed, her brain begins to be washed of the, you know, the things, the medications and things that she's had to go through. God, where as little by little begin to show her how to, you know, cleanse her body, cleanse her brain, you know, and healing her body, healing her brain, healing her body, God, in Jesus' name, through the different things. Everybody needs a little different thing to, depending on how your brain is, how your body's been affected by things, and the process of how God heals it is all individualized in the fact that, you know, God has a certain way he wants to heal you, because you respond to things differently than anybody else, you know, for the most part. So thank you, Jesus, for showing her how to do the things that her body, her mind, her spirit will respond to, God. In Jesus' name, she will have the mind, a clear mind, God, in Jesus' name, an ability to think clear. And sometimes, you know, that's not just spiritual, but sometimes it's just the fact that we have, you know, been on medication and different things. She already knows all this, but, you know, sometimes that affects us for a while. And then we come off of it, we get our brain cleared out, and we go back. Yeah, God resurrects our brain. We can rethink like a new person. All right, 804-218, you want to talk to your friend, please? All right, 842-218, are you there?
Hello? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, 804-218.
That's me.
Andy.
Angie from Virginia, right? I just thought I'd help you a little bit. Angie from Virginia. All right, Angie from Virginia. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, it's like I see getting a new cable system, a new hookup. You know, like when you, I don't know, different cable systems have different things, but like, you know, I see you getting like a new hookup, new, a new cable system. You know, it's just, I guess it's a spiritual thing. You know, just if you, like to watch, different things, like I like to watch stories about real people, and I like to watch sports. I like to watch tennis, different things I do that relax me, that where I can sit and just, I can go off there all over the place and meditate and think and sit there and watch it, everything, and watch the game, but I'm really out somewhere else. And that's what it does for me, relax me. But so I see God really connect you up to a thing of like a new cable system where you're able to get information from God that, you know, is not new, but new to you. Like, oh, I didn't know that cable did that. That channel had that on there, God's channel. Oh, my God, look at there. It's tapping into the different channels that God has. Because everybody has a little bit different information. You get a channel where it talks about cars. Learn about cars. You get a channel where you talk about sports. You learn about sports. You get a channel where you talk about finances. You learn about finance. So all these different channels. Lord, you connecting her by the Spirit to the ability to download information that she needs to fulfill your purpose. Like, I'm talking about God information, not just human beings saying this is how this works. How God made things. How God made things. How God did things. How God created things. And going and getting rid of all the influences of men and the compromising messages and understanding that men have had, and get back to totally clear, pure thinking, and getting back to the purity and the origination of the origin of everything. And then in our thinking and our laws. So thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, and give us the freedom to be able to think that through, process that information through, and it's called the spirit of revelation. It's almost like the cable is like the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation, divine information from God. It can be very practical information from God, or, you know, whatever, to make things simple, to make you, so you can understand, oh, that's how God says that the car should be made. Oh, that's how God says he made a human being. Oh, that's how God says that. The spirit of revelation. And opening her up to that God in Jesus' name, and blessing her and giving the information that she needs so she can fulfill your purpose. And God will give you, you know, the channel, we're talking about the revelation channel, but the divine, you know, revelation of the understanding from heaven is for you to learn about the things you're called and chosen to do. Not just anything and everything, you know, it's information for you to learn what will, you know, activate you toward doing specifically God's will in your life. That information. Yeah, so open that up, God, for the wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Christ Jesus with Angie's life. Hallelujah. With what the things that she's called to do, the things that she's called to be. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, be right back. Hang on a second, be right back. All right, I'm back. All right, 847-505, can we talk to you, please?
Hello, Prophet Randy. This is Marja from Illinois.
Hi, Marja. Thank you. Hi. Stay on a second. All right, thank you, Lord, for Marja. God, show her that, you know, all the things that she's allergic to is spiritually, emotionally, sometimes just because our system is rejecting them. That's why we're being, so to speak, allergic to them. I get around certain people that have certain things going on, you know, if God didn't want us to minister to them, it's like we get allergic to them because like we want to sneeze when they come around. We want to, like, cough. We want to gag. We don't even know why. Because, you know, sometimes our system is telling us, our spiritual system is saying, you know, you're allergic to that. That's not for you. That's not good information. That's not right. And when you put it on your mind or you take it in your head, it makes you have, you know, itching or whatever, you know. So, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for all the things that she finds herself to be allergic to spiritually, emotionally, mentally. But there's a reason for that. And, you know, there's some things that she's allergic to that are good for her. And God, you're going to show her how to, you know, heal that, bless it, turn it around, where she can absorb everything that she needs and be able to be, quote, if you will, allergic to things that are not good for her, that are not her, that don't belong to her. It may not be bad things, but they're not for her. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening her heart to that, God, where she can know, be able to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and not good for her. In Jesus' name. Sometimes, Marge, things are good for other people, they're not good for us. Right? I have a lot of that stuff in my life. I want to say, oh, that's a bad thing. Or that's not a bad thing. Why you tell me I can be a part of it? Yeah, you can't be a part of it because I don't want to be a part of it. But it's not a bad thing. It's one of my things too, but it's not your thing. I went, oh, got it. So I would be allergic to that, so to speak. I didn't realize that, you know, it can be a God thing, but it's not a God thing for me. Therefore, I found myself resisting it, my body resisting it, my mind resisting it, my spirit member resisting it, and just feeling like I'm clean when I'm around it. So usually we find ourselves finding fault with it because it's not for us. That's what I did anyway. The Lord says, you know, hey, just don't, you know, don't call unclean what I call clean just because it's not for you. I'm going, yeah, got it. I'm learning about that. So thank you, Lord, for giving her wisdom, God, on what she needs to eat spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And the things that she needs to resist that her spirit man is not made for, may not necessarily be bad words, false words, but it can be things that you know, are not for her to partake of. Amen, in Jesus' name. And the things that she is to partake of, God, that gives her joy and it feeds her and nurtures her and causes her to come alive and know that God loves her and that she is loved and blessed. And in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 803-991, you want to talk to her, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Angela, all right, Angela, thank you, Lord, for that submission realm, God, learning how to submit to God. It's not about submitting to people. It's about submitting to God. But here's the thing. When God tells us to submit to people, when he tells us to, then there's a reason for it, because maybe that person or that business person or that whatever it is, that God is have you submitting to, he has you submitting to it because there's something there that you're supposed to, you know, learn about or partake of. So submission is not just saying, okay, what the man has to have the woman submit to him or she's out of order. It's, you know, there are certain elements with that in the natural that we work. But for the most part, you know, submission is God saying, like he told me, you know, to go to Pastor Jerry, who I was with for 10 years, he said, submit yourself to him. So when I submitted myself to him, you know, he's not perfect. He was a really great guy, better than anybody I've ever seen. But you know, he had a human being, he had issues, some things I didn't believe, and some things I didn't like a lot that he taught on. Like, you know, so anyway, I don't want to get into the details. But you know what? The Lord said, submit yourself. I didn't ask you to, I didn't send you there because you're supposed to grieve on everything. I didn't send you there because I think he's there because there's something that God's going to use him to do in my life that nobody else can do. So when God says to submit to something or somebody or something, it's because there's something there that he's trying to train us or open up for us or partake of or just to be tested sometimes. And if we can submit to people that we don't agree with on everything, it's kind of like submitting to God. There's a lot of things God's told me I didn't agree with. I didn't agree with the Trump thing at first. I go, what? The Biden? Yeah, Biden. What? You know, and so he says, oh, I just need you to submit to me. This is what I'm going to do. And so I began to, you know, get a hold of it. And I submitted, therefore, to God, you know, and I resisted the devil. And, you know, we ended up, you know, on the right side of that. So it was really awesome. So submission is, you know, it's a very powerful thing, and when you learn to what it's for and the purpose of it, it's not just for a man to rule over a woman or for, you know, it's for the wealthy to rule over the, you know, the poor, but true submission with God has a design purpose for it to take us places we'd never go had we not done it. So it's a whole different level of thinking. All right, G903808, you want to talk to your company?
Hi, this is Janie in Texas.
I blurted it out, but I did get it. All right.
I heard it.
Yeah, I was kind of mumble. Help me, Gina. Okay, hold on a second here. Thank you, Gina. Okay. Yes. Can you send me a text about something? I don't think we need a prayer over that or not. So, but, okay. One second here. Okay. We're trying to go through your prayer request today at 9:33. Something about buying silver and gold. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Okay, so I didn't really matter. Okay. But that's a good thought. Yeah, the thing about time and money and all that, as you know, you already know all this, but is, you know, when God chooses us to do something, he will provide. When it's like, you know, you're part of the wealth transfer thing. In that sense, you're going to have gold and silver, or, you know, however it all works. I mean, I don't know exactly who's going to get what. Has, you know, it's a gold or silver thing. So what I'm saying is part of that right there anyway. So in a sense, God's already basically provided for that because you've been one of the ones who've been giving, you know, CGN for a long time. And so, you know, that's going to come back to you right there. So that's pretty cool about that. I know you're not asking that question, but I'm telling you, that's pretty cool right there when you think about it. And as far as writing, you can make more time for that, along with everything else, but you got a lot going on. And the same thing with timing. It's like, you know, so timing, you know, so what God begins to, you asked me this question one time as a kind of an end time question that I thought was really great. You said, if we knew Jesus was coming back, you know, like next week or whatever, would we have anything, you know, would we need to change a lot of things? I'm going like, that's a really good question. And the answer is, I hope not. I hope I'm flying high. I probably won't be, but, you know, I hope I'm flying high in obedience and I'm doing what he's telling me to do so that if I have to refine anything, maybe 10%, hey, you know. So the answer to that is we're either obeying God now or not. And nobody's obeying God as much as we would if we knew he's coming back tomorrow, for sure. I think we'd definitely have to, I know I would have to refine some things, I'm sure, and get more serious. I don't know, but I'm hoping that, so as far as time goes, I'm hoping that the things I'm spending my time doing and I'm getting the wisdom on, like if I'm doing work, you know, sometimes we've been working the same work for years. We got it all down to a system, and we think that system is it. I mean, we can't get it any better than this, right? That's what I've, so lately God's been telling me, he said, I'm going to show you how to do things quicker and easier. And of course my brain things up a lot, but so my brain, now that it's being more opened up, it starts showing me things more easily, how to do things faster and easier. You go, what? So what happens is, I'm now able to get a lot more done with no more time. You know, if God hadn't have shortened the time with me in the fact that he shortened the time of getting things done, you know, make time things go back, get things done quicker, less time, was because of the wisdom he gave me on how to change. How can you change something like brushing your teeth or taking a shower? Or, I mean, you think that could never increase. But he did. I mean, believe it or not, he did. And so that can go into anything, the way I organize, structure, you know, like you feeding the animals and all that kind of thing, taking care of business, cooking, doing all stuff. So the whole thing is the more we tap into the wisdom of God and ask God about everything, even the things that we think we got it down, better than anybody. I'm the best horse feeder, and I can feed more cows and more chickens than anybody in the whole world. But hey, maybe you should ask God, you know, again, I'm sure you have already, you know, God, now that I'm matured more and I've grown more, can you show me how to do my business so I can get it done easier and faster and better in half the time or something, whatever? And then you end up finding yourself going, hey, I got more time. So this is the thing. The curse is that we got from Adam and Eve is that we labor in sweat. Sweating means takes longer. It's harder. It's difficult. But, you know, it's with all of it, it's the curse we all got. So as we get the Holy Spirit, he starts showing us, you know, yeah, when you do something, you know, like with me, I don't want to talk too much about some that stuff because it's kind of like, but, and even taking a shower, I mean, just a simple little thing he had me do changed my whole way I take a shower. I mean, believe it or not, I've been taking showers, you know, since I can remember. And just that and a bunch of other things. And so my God, I never thought about that. It's amazing. Easier, faster. And, so when you add that, about 10 of those things together, you end up having yourself, you know, 30 minutes more or an hour more, depending on what it is. So you see what I'm saying? So thank you, Lord, for that blessing that's on her already. God, that you'll show her, you know, even though sometimes it just seems like, how can you get this done any faster, you know, the way we do it? Well, maybe ask God to see if there's a way you can do it, change the way you do it or something. It's got to be something. Are you doing it exactly? If she just came back next week and he says, you know, he comes back and he says, man, I tried to get you to feed those horses a certain way and you just thought you had it down already, you know, and you could have saved yourself a lot of time and you could have written that book already. You know what I'm saying? Like, huh? Yeah, because the blessing, the curse is sweat, hard, more time, more labor, anxiety, stress that we all do with. And the more I come under the blessing of God and I obey God with things that I never asked God about, I've never asked God if I brush my teeth or take a shower better. I mean, you know, praying out loud, who cares? Well, I start asking about everything. And I'm sure there's 100 things I haven't asked me about yet because I'm so used to doing it myself, I don't even think about it. But I'm starting to think about it. And the more I do it, man, the inventive, creative power of God. He goes, Randy, in Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, everything just flowed so easy. They were doing things. If we were to look back and watch them till the ground, we'd be going like, oh, my God, how in the world are they doing that? I've never seen anybody do that like that. Because of the blessing of God and the way they did it and how they did it and why they did it that way. It was all completely God orchestrated, every little teeny weeny thing. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do, because he was under the blessing. So when he wiped his rear after he used the bathroom, and those gross as the sound, you know, he did it the way God showed him how to do it. You know what I'm saying? So brushing his teeth to, you know, whatever, the basic things of life. Think, well, how can that be? Yeah, well, I guarantee you, if people watch Jesus do it and they go, man, I never thought about doing it like that, which sounds crazy, but, you know, they're like, yeah, my Father taught me how to do it like this. He created my butt. He knows how to clean. He has everything. If we could ask him, he shows how to do every little thing, every little teeny weeny thing. Oh, I don't do this. It's too much trouble, people will say. That's just too much. I'm so used to it. But you know what? And that's why we don't get blessed. So God started telling me, he said, you ask me for more time and more blessing and this and that and the other, and then you don't, you know, you're not asking me about every little thing. And you spend all your day doing all these little things and eating up your time. Then you say, I need more time, Lord. He said, I'm trying to help you get more time, but you're not listening to me. That's what he's telling me, Jeannie. Telling me that in a very loving way. So it's really been amazing. Really been amazing. So God bless her and show her how to, whatever it is. Sometimes, certain things I just take out of my life. That gives me more time. Is that really necessary? I thought it was. I guess not. Gone. There's 30 minutes. You know? Are you sleeping good, resting good, so your brain's working better? So you can, you know, go through all your whole process every day with a sharp mind? Or are you going through there lagging, tired, and, oh, God, I don't think they can do it. Just really, I've struggled with that before. And God says, man, you just sleep good, get rest, and do what I tell you. Ask me about everything. Everything. How to walk. Everything. You are blessed, girl. All right. 919-995. Can we talk to you,
come, please? Cheryl in North Carolina.
Cheryl. All right, Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for that aging thing, God, of aging things, things aging, things getting old, things, you know, how do we say younger, not just younger, you know, but youth is really my yoke is easy in my word of life. So if our yokes are easy, then we're getting just enough of a heaviness to exercise our bodies, but nothing excessive where it wears us out, right? And so when we, my yoke is easy, my word is light. So when you start catching hold of the vision, the perfect understanding of you know, our thinking processes and how heavy they are, and they just like worry and anxiety. Like Jesus said, you know, what are you fretting over? Like, you know, people fret out of habit. It's what we do sometimes. Lord said, what are you fretting about that for? I go, well, because I don't have the answer yet. Well, why don't you ask me? I'm going like, oh, yeah. So the weight of things, the heaviness, and plus, and Daniel says that Satan's strategy is, in the end times, especially, is to wear out the saints, to wear them out. So how do we reverse that and stay youthful or non-heavy or light? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So if we're carrying the burden of the word of the Lord, whatever that is, even if it's a big thing he has us doing, when we're doing it by the Spirit, we're in the blessing. We're not being burdened down with weight and heavy and wearing ourselves out. Satan wears us out, and he thinks that we're just doing God a favor. And he is wearing us out with all kinds of things, worry, doubt, frustration. You know, things that we all deal with. Well, thank the Lord for Cheryl. God, you've shown her how to, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, but even from the thought realm, the thoughts sometimes can be very heavy. Worry can be like a heavy weight. I've seen, you know, people get delivered from weight, from worry, and their shoulders changed. They went back and they popped up like they grew 2 inches, you know, because that weight, the heaviness, the burden weighs down and causes us to get old, wear out. We're wearing ourselves out, you know, and that's what God said in Daniel about what Satan's strategy is to wear the saints out. Lord, thank you for giving our wisdom how to think, how to work through, the things that are heavy upon her, how to cast her care upon the Lord where she doesn't walk around every day, but she's gotten used to the heaviness of it. It's like no big deal anymore, but she didn't know it, but it's killing her. She's growing older faster, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, because of the burdens that she's carried, God, that you're going to show her more how to cast those cares upon you, where her yoke is easy, easy. My yoke is easy. It used to be heavy. It used to be hard. Everything was so hard. I couldn't think straight, so everything was hard. When things are hard, like being a slave, you get wore out. That's Satan's strategy. Wear us out. Wear the saints out. So give her wisdom, God. Give her strength. Give her understanding. Show her how to think, so she will renew her youth as the eagle. Yeah. She will walk and not faint. She will run and not be weary, walk and not faint, something like that. Why? Because you're walking light instead of heavy. Oh, God, I don't know if we're ever going to get there. You know how we do that. Oh, God, I don't know. It's so heavy. And when God lifts off, it's like, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I can go on in the fight, fight, fight. As I got more energy, more strength. Yeah, in Jesus' name. It's really cool. Really, really cool. Okay, 915-929. Can we talk to the room, please?
God bless you, Papa Randy. Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. There we go. Okay, Carmen from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for entering into that rest, God, that rest, that when you show us things. Once we get a breakthrough, you know, the purpose of it is to bring rest. So then we labor, to enter into what? Into the rest. So what are we laboring for? To enter into rest. What's the rest about? It is to understand what's going on, is to understand, you know, why things aren't working, why they do work, how to get them to work, how, you know, what am I doing right, what am I doing wrong? We find out we're doing something wrong, if people think like, oh, it's some horrible thing, I'm doing something wrong. No, it means that, you know, that used to work, but now things are changing and it's not going to work anymore. So you learn to change, learn to, to let God show you, you know, what to dwell on. Okay, let's just go over a second. What to dwell on. And, the dwelling place. Where are we dwelling at? The dwelling places of God. You know, the he that dwelleth in the, what, under the shadow of the Almighty shall, Psalms 91. Let me read that. Let me go to Psalms 91 for a second. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, let me go here for a second. Thank you. Okay. Do I want to go there? I'm not going to go there. Yeah, I'm going to stay with this. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Lord should go there. Sorry. Anita, come on. All right. I need your help. All right, so the Psalm 91. I almost didn't go there. I almost changed my mind. There's something there that we need, I guess. I'm thinking something about dwelling, the dwelling place. Okay, whoever dwells in this verse 1, Psalm 91, verse 1, whoever dwells. So it's about dwelling. It's a dwelling thing, abiding, dwelling, in the shelter of the Most High will rest. There it is. Look at that. Look at that rest. Wow. Will rest in the shadow. Right. There it is right there. My gosh, I no wonder you haven't come to this. I almost like, I know what that scripture says. Read it, Randy. Right. It says, it talks about entering into the rest, he who dwells. That's exactly what I just said to you. I didn't realize what I was saying. Wow. So if you're showing Carmen how to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Second here, let me get to this. Other versions say, English Standard says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow. Because abiding is going to be the hiding. Abiding is hiding, you know, hiding in the Lord, hiding in him, being hidden in him. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, or shall rest under the shadow of the Almighty. So God will lodge. Here's one version says, the New American Standard says, will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. Will lodge. One who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. So this is about dwelling and resting. That's the word that I got. And then I thought of Psalm 91. Yeah. So sure enough, I'm glad we got that. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you. But watch what they say when you dwell and you rest. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow. In the shadow. Remember Peter's shadow? Your people of the will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, those who do this will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I will trust. So this whole thing about dwelling and resting, it causes us to say, and, you know, not just saying it, confessing it, just like, you know, what's going on. You are my refuge. So what we realize that when we dwell in that resting place, that, you know, it's our protection. We feel protected no matter what, emotionally, mentally, financially. Our future is protected. We make mistakes, you know, whatever. It's like, you know, just dwell in me. I'll fix it. I'll change it. You know, Peter sunk in the water, but Jesus gave him a chance. He ended up preaching it, you know, when many people cried on the day of Pentecost. So this whole thing of dwelling in the shelter. Dwelling in the shelter. Let me look at that word here for a second. Shelter. Entice you secretly. You secretly. Where does shelter thing go? All right, the shelter. I don't even see it here. Why did that bring me here? Okay, I don't know. I went there, but it didn't really say a lot to me. Let's go back. All right, so I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. So this whole thing we're entering into with Hamas and Israel and the end time, the biggest thing people are going to be dealing with is, you know, like you, if you think about Israel right now, if they're in a good shelter, they're going to feel safe, right? If they're not in a good shelter, what? They could die. So they're in this fear and panic thing. It's about, where can I find my shelter, right? And of course, we know God is, but as far as the physical realm, same thing. Where do I find my shelter? He who dwells in the shelter. So, no, when we dwell in the shelter, we don't go in and out. We stay in the shelter of the Most High. We will abide. Then we will abide under the shadow of the protection or the resting place. We will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So I don't know if I'm just trying to chew this of a refuge and rest in Jesus' name, where she can rest like never before. She can enter into that place of the shelter of the Most High, where she's sheltered. Or when bombs are going off all around us. Remember the lady that I talked with this, you know, back in the late 80s? Maybe 1990? Anyway, I went to East Texas. I was living in Texas. I was living in Lubbock, Texas at the time. And I went to do meetings in Monahans, Texas, which is an oil city. And I was there. I did meetings in libraries and churches and things. So I had a meeting. I called this. In the meeting, I called people out like I always do. She stood up, an older lady. I was in my 30s, but she was probably like 65. Yeah. And I said, I see bombs going off all around you, but don't worry. Not one of them is going to hurt you. It's going to wound you or hurt you. You're going to be protected. Well, you know, she's in Monahans, Texas. She's not in Israel. Well, I'm going to find out her husband was an oil well person and was in Israel at the time that Saddam Hussein decided to bomb Israel, and she just happened to go visit him during Christmas and stay there for like a month or so. And while she was there, she got waked in the middle of the night because they started bombing Israel. He dirty bombed too. So they came to get her. She said, you got to go to the shelter. And this sweet lady, she was a powerful lady, a strong lady. And she told him, she says, she remembered that word I gave her like maybe a year before. I don't remember exactly, maybe 2 years before. He said, Randy, I remember that word. It's so weird to give me a word. In Monahans, Texas, that you saw bombs going off around me or explosions. Like, but don't worry, not one hair on my head's going to be hurt. I'd be like, what did that mean? She wondered about it until that day that she was actually there. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. She came back and told me about that. And, you know, I always felt weird about that word. And I'm going, like, how can I tell somebody in a little town like that they got bombs going off around? Not ever having a clue. Not her, not me, not anybody. Her husband wasn't even in Israel at the time. What wasn't doing that thing in Israel. Got sent to Israel. She goes to visit him. Saddam Hussein bombs the place. She told the guys who came to shelter to take her to the shelter place. She said, sir, she said, I got a word from God. That's what she said. She told me. He said that the guy goes, hands her the mask. Well, she takes the gas mask, goes and lays down on her bed, puts it on the side of on the table there beside her, and didn't even put it on. He said she went to sleep thinking, I got a word from God. And then she realized that God had shown her that through me, you know, like a year, 2 years ahead of time. And it was amazing that even in the natural realm, that she had shelter in her fear realm from, you know, if she hadn't had that word, she'd been over there, you know, there's no telling what she was. She was a strong lady anyway, but I mean, she had, that word was pretty specific. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And she just like, she never feared. She said, she never feared. She said, Randy, the peace of God came on me because I remember that word you gave me that I would not be harmed. And she said, who could have known I would be in Israel? I didn't even know I'd be in Israel. And who knew that Saddam Hussein was going to be attacking Israel? Nobody knew that. Israel didn't even know that. So it was, she said, it was so miraculous that God was protecting me and watching over me and used you to do it. And she came back and told me she was just like, she was like in the glory, man. She went like, man, you are not going to believe this. I didn't know why she was calling. Why are you calling me? She said, oh, remember that word you gave me? I'm going like, yeah, I remember. Okay, you're going to jump on me about it because I scared you or something. She said, no, no. It came to pass in Israel. And she told me the story. It was quite amazing. And, yeah, they were amazing people. They were amazing people. I got to know them a little bit. But anyway, so I don't know what that's all about, but be ready. All right, 915-248. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas.
Hey, Daniel. Right, Daniel, good day tonight. Thank you. All right. Get a drink of water here. All right, Daniel, good to have you tonight. God's going to reveal to you the definition of things. We would give the definition of trouble as one thing, right? But God gives the definition of trouble in a whole different way. So I just use an example, but I see God giving you definitions of things, understanding of things. Like we always thought, you know, some word meant this, you know, maybe sometimes it might be interpretations of things. A definition of a word in God's eyes, you know, compared to human's eyes, and begin to understand, you know, when God says you're going through a hard time, you know, in his eyes, it's like, I'm getting ready to bless you. In our eyes, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through a hard time, you know, which we all think about. But, and so God giving the definition of things and the interpretation of things. Like Joseph did really interpret his dream correctly. Or he'd have been glad to be in Egypt. You know, yeah, man, that's right where I'm supposed to be. No, the whole time he's wanting to be home with his daddy to fulfill that dream that God gave him where his brother's going to bow down to him. He's going to have crops bigger than theirs and better than theirs. And, you know, and then, yeah, so that wasn't going to happen in Egypt. Are you kidding me? So none of it made any sense to him at all. And God knew it wasn't going to make any sense to him. But you know what he did? He kept serving God anyway, kept being with God. And pretty soon, you know, God gave him the interpretation or gave him the definition of the meanings of those things. They were defined for him specifically. So I feel like God wants to redefine things for you, you know, maybe some ways you believe things, been taught all your life, and God may go like, you know, I'm going to show you what the Bible says about it, and it's going to settle you upon the rock of Christ Jesus in a way maybe you haven't. You know, I mean, that's what he's been doing with me. He's been changing a lot of my core beliefs about, you know, shifting some of them pretty good. It's been amazing. Things I believed and preached for years, God's like going, you know, I didn't tell you that. Somebody tells you that and you respect them so you believed it. I went, yeah. And so I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to teach you. So I let him do it. It was not easy. And then to admit that you had it wrong, that was even more difficult, you know. But I found myself, you know, God gave me the opportunity to humble myself. And the more I humbled myself and let him redefine everything I believe according into the Word of God, the more he blessed me, the more humility he worked in me, the more I lost my fear of making mistakes, the more I lost my fear of being wrong, you know. So sometimes when you're a prophet, you do some things that you make you look pretty wrong sometimes. I've said some things, Daniel, that make me look like a nutbag, like that lady I just talked about, giving her word in a little, you know, small town, 50,000 people, or I don't know how big it was, Monahans, Texas. you know, little old country city out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, they're going to have no bombs going off around them. They were doing terrorists back then. You know, it didn't make any sense. I gave it anyway. And I said, she's like, I don't know how to explain it to you. She goes, it's okay. You know, she trusted God. And so pretty soon it came to pass. I mean, that sounded crazy. I've had a lot of words similar to that in different ways that were just totally off the rocker. I mean, like, my God, how could I even say something like that? And God began to define for me, you know, obedience and show me that if I would do, you know, so he started changing me in every way, you know, taking me to the Word of the Holy Spirit, redefining things and give me the definition of things according to him and the interpretation of things. So thank you, Lord, for opening that up for him. God, anything, any of those things that you want to work on or bless, or because anytime we have something that's not totally pure of God, it opens up the door for impurity of some fashion to come and wrestle us or fight us or cause fear or whatever. So the purity of your word and your truth, God, and Daniel, God, bless it. Show him the definition of things the way you see them. Holy Spirit, take him by the hand like you do me, and just showing him what he needs to know. So we can get it according to your word, where that when he goes to a battle, there will be no open doors, you know, any way that anybody can come in and harass him unnecessarily. But he's in the shelter place, he's in the hidden place, he's in the protection place, because he's in the Word of God, not just traditions of men, the Word of God. Amen. Cool. Give him revelation, Jesus, from your Word and the Holy Spirit. All right, 612-991, who would talk to me from, please? Yes, 612-991, are you there? Okay, I think it's George from Minnesota. I shout out, babe. Glenn sent me an update on what's going on in the Middle East. Things are escalating very rapidly in the Middle East, as Israel has now announced a siege warfare tactic against 2 million Palestinian civilians by cutting off their food, water, and electricity and fuel. Wow. This means 2 million Palestinian civilians will now face imminent starvation, sickness, and disease. This is his statement. With sewage, starvation, sickness, and disease, with sewage running in the streets, hospitals blacked out, and children, women, and elderly suffering horrifying deaths while under kinetic bombardment. Israel's actions are leading to rapid escalation and involvement from the other groups and nations, including Hezbollah, Lebanon, Turkey, Iran may soon be involved as well. And Turkey is warning that if the USA gets involved, Turkey's military will side with the Palestinians. The situation is rapidly going full biblical, and it could even involve Damascus, Syria. Read Isaiah chapter 17. Okay, that's from Glenn. All right, thank you, Glenn, for that. Okay, Joyce from Minnesota. Update, news flash. Thank you for that news flash. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my sister's not God. I thank you, Jesus, for doing away with fear, anything going on with her family, and situations, God, in Jesus' name, where they will, you know, we will begin to, you know that some people are going to suffer. You know, we don't want anybody to suffer. You know, but the Bible says they're going to be suffering. There's going to be some martyrs. Of course, we're going to have to put all that into our mind. And know that there's a lot of things that are going to go on with people that, well, why would God do that? It's in the Bible, and people suffer. Some people get persecuted. Some people get killed. Some people are martyrs. But we're going to have to start putting that in our plate and start eating from it, knowing to prepare ourselves for what's in the future so that we don't freak out and think, oh, God, the devil. You know, it's all in the Word of God. Everybody's in the Word of God. And so God's going to try to show us, Joyce, how to deal with it. I know you have folk in Africa and different places, your family, and I know that's not really, you know, I don't know how close it is in Israel, but, you know, that part of the world is going to be under, you know, tremendous pressure. So thank you, Lord, that you give Joyce the grace to pray and intercede and believe you, Father, to we think victory is nobody ever getting hurt or persecuted or hurt or wounded or anything. We think that's victory. Oh, we had a victorious warfare prayer. Oh, my God, nothing's ever going to happen to anybody ever. And we're so victorious. Victory is yielding to Jesus in the midst of persecution. Victory is if you get threatened with death or starvation, I'm going to trust God. That's victory. And some people may starve, some people may not. Do we want those things to happen? No. But God is preparing us for all the whole thing, the whole shebang. So thank you, Jesus, for preparing them, for preparing her, showing her in the Word of God. And we can pray that our loved ones and stuff, be good. But we're going to realize that we're in a season that I've been warning about for a while of getting close to the building of the temple. And when that happens, the Antichrist situation escalating, the economy crashing at a level it never has before. I've been talking about that for a while. And that is happening. So thank you, Lord, that we're going to find ourselves in victory and knowing that Jesus is our source. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because thou art with us. That's going to be the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing and giving them grace to the family, God, and their children, all the babies and the young kids in Jesus' name to watch over them and fulfill their dreams, God, and being used by you and mightily used by you, God. Amen. All right, 480-795, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Greg from Arizona.
Oh, hey, Greg. All right, thank you, Lord, for Greg tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the specifics, God, the specific things that you want him to do, the specific things you desire for him to be a part of, the specific things, and not just a bunch of generalities, that we all can have for a season, then we start narrowing down to, like when Jesus came down to the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a very specific thing he's going to do, one thing, and that is go to the cross. He wasn't going to be traveling all over the place, sometimes healing, sometimes raising the dead, sometimes feeding people, bread and fish, and sometimes, cleansing lepers. Now it's going to be one thing, and narrowing it down to that thing. So thank you, Lord, that as we come into these new seasons, you're going to show Greg specific things that you're narrowing down to for him to do and to be a part of, and not waver from that. There's a lot of good information. There's a lot of things out there. You're going to find that God wants to show you where you're called to, what you're called to do, what you're called to be a part of, and do that and stay with it, because what is your meat? To do the will of the Father, right? To do the will of the Father. So thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him how to walk in it, how to focus, how to gather his thoughts, how to get in tune with what you're saying, no matter what. Like when God tells us to do something, we got to do it no matter what. I've served and done things like crazy stuff. Like God, when you do that, I don't really believe everything he says. You just do it no matter what, Randy. Just obey me no matter what. I'm like, okay. So because our focus is what's important with all that. We've got to focus, get focused on what God's saying. And we're either in, like an example, in the prophetic realm, or in the, whatever realm you want to be in. With me, God began to narrow me down to the prophetic, not healing, not evangelism, so much as the prophet realm, and in specific areas of the prophet realm. As I began to agree with that and kind of focus with that, God provided for me all kinds of things. It took some time, but the purpose of focusing in is what began to bless me. Help him do that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 303-368. You want to talk to the company?
Hey, Andy, it's Mike.
Hey, Mike. All right, Mike. Good to have you. Thank you, Lord, for Mike. Thank you, Jesus, for the escalation of everything, God. You're going to accelerate everything. We're going to see that, things we prayed about, the importance of, what the purpose of, the vision of, dropping things that aren't important, taking on things that, not being double-minded. That's one thing God's been really, I was just talking with Greg, for God to show me, being double-minded isn't like we're stupid. It just means that we're trying to do this and trying to do that. God says, I want you to narrow it down. I want you to come down to focus on what I called you to do and focus on that. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that and for the narrow path, the narrow path. What's the narrow path? Being perfect, you know, necessarily, no, it's the narrow path is, you know, we're not trying to go a lot of different paths. We've got one path we're going on. We're sticking with that. And anybody and everybody who's supposed to be part of it, they will come across that path, right? They will bring, my path will bring me to them, and their path will bring them to me. And we get focused on that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those other things. People are things. Things are things, and they're all important. Money, property, houses, home, family will be added to us. So thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name, that the narrow gate, Father, that the narrow path is that of focusing on what you want and letting you develop us in that and letting his faith grow in that, Jesus, where the devil can't take it to flop him all around. He's focused. When you're focused, you can't be flopped around as much. There's times when I get in focus, man, the enemy coming in and tried like a flood. It tries to, you know, just totally get me going in all different directions. And I'm like going in circles, you know, like going around the mountain. I don't get that going around the mountain thing. The guy said, come on, ready? Okay. So when they focused and they crossed the Jordan, they were focused. They had a leader that God was using, raising up, and that people that could pray and believe God. And they focused and they crossed over and went in. And seek first kingdom, God, his righteous, and all those other things. All those other things, God, come because he's on the path you called him to be on. And he's going to focus on that and not worry about what other people are doing or thinking, but focus on what you said. Amen. And that blessing upon him, God, in Jesus' name. Anoint him to be able to focus on that. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Okay. 251-229. Can we talk to you from, please? Oh, my God, I forgot about it. Okay. Sarah. All right, Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. God, thank you, Lord, for rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't show her how to do that. It's one thing for us to hear other people say it, and it sounds so convincing, and then we walk away and we hear somebody else talk about something, and it's so convincing. So which way is right? Right. Really good point. And we all go through that until we get the revelation ourselves. So thank you, Lord, for giving her revelation where she will go. You will help her rightly divide the word of God, not just because of tradition. Well, you know what? My mama believed this, or my cousin believed it, my pastor, he's a man of God. He believes this, so because he believes it, I'm going to believe it. That's a good beginning, but it doesn't go well when God begins to say, hey, I want you to learn. I want you to learn from me. I want you to learn the truth from me. And like Peter, you know, he's there for Christ, and Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for that thing of my Father which is in heaven. In Jesus' name, start revealing things to Sarah, Father, which you're not dependent on, you know, what mom believed, or although, you know, we believe great things. My mom and dad believed in a lot of great things, but they didn't have everything. And so they weren't filled with spirit, one thing, there was another thing. Some of their doctrine was not right, but you know, they were still good people, but I started going to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit started showing me what he wanted me to learn and know. And the more I learned what he taught me, the more I went into where he wanted me to go. And then I was standing on my own, and not because of what other people said or did. I was standing, you know, me and the Lord. You know, yeah, I walked through the valley and said, listen, I'm pretty evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. Not because, oh, the God of my mama, or the God of my daddy, or the God of my background or my tradition. No, it's like I get this relationship going with God, like, you know, wow, cool. At a new level. You know, I've always had a relationship with somebody born again, but he was taking me to a place of, you know, knowing things myself. He was showing me stuff. And once you got that, it still takes time to change us. But that process begins a process of true change with God. And we drop our traditions from people and take our traditions to God and go, God, what about these traditions? This is what I believe. My mom believed it. She was a great lady. my church, my family, whatever. What do you say about it? And we start doing that. Sure, we move into a whole different place with God. Some of those things, 90% of their stuff may be right. Maybe all of it may be right. And maybe none of it may be right. As far as, you know. Yeah, so we got to find out from God. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika and Chris. God, we thank you, Jesus, for bringing them up together. In Jesus' name, like the friendship, God, and that they see the purpose that of them being together, and they see the qualities of each other. Like Andrika has things that Chris doesn't have, and Chris has things that Andrika doesn't have, because one thing, he's a man, and another thing, she's a woman, and women have things men don't have, and men have things that women don't have, in a lot of different ways, right? So we began to see and stir up those gifts in a man, and it's amazing the things that a man can do and believe God if God's working on it and doing stuff. It's amazing that a woman can't do. And then the woman, so that way we need each other, and the more that we, in truth, see the good and the good qualities and the talents and the abilities God's given somebody, and then you truly enter that thing where one puts 1,000 and two puts 10,000. So God opened their eyes to each other at a new level, their friendship and their love for one another and their marriage. And Jesus, I thank you for letting them see their, each one of them's strengths, you know, and their weaknesses, where they can be even more knit together, knowing I need you. I'm going to accomplish what we're going to accomplish. I need you, and you need me. We may not need each other for the same reasons, but of course we don't. If we did that, we wouldn't need each other. I think the Lord, they're going to find themselves needing each other in Jesus' name in a powerful way, and cause them to enter into a place of major levels of protection, major levels of blessing, and freedom in Jesus' name. All because they've entered, I think, the 1,000 to 10,000, because they've seen the strength and weaknesses, and yet they cover for each other and cover each other's back. The strengths that Chris has, it covers Andrika's weaknesses, and same thing with Andrika. Her strengths are covering Chris's weaknesses, God, and that's why a man and a woman together is so powerful and so beautiful. But it takes work of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Lord, for doing that in their lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 951-966, can we talk to you, please?
Hi, this is Regina. How are you?
Hi, Regina. All right, good. All right, thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Lord, for that time and space, God, of growing and learning and yearning and burning and learning to, learning and growing. Like we go to school. It's like, we look at walking with God as going to school. I read this kind of a joke the other night on the show where this example of like some young guys going to training, and going to training, right, in Texas or somewhere, in California, wherever he's going to training. And he's calling home mom. Hey, mom, man, it's like, you know, I'm in real war over here. This is like, you know, I'm getting shot at. I got, you know, bombs going up everywhere, and we're crawling through wire. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I'm in war over here. This is real war. And his mom has to remind him, son, you know, you're just in training, honey. It's training. What? Oh, my gosh. Send me some cookies. Send me something. You mean this is not real? Well, sometimes we think that stuff is real warfare, so we don't realize sometimes it looks like they make it look real, they make it sound real, they make all the effects of it real to prepare you for the real thing, though that can never do it completely. But they do a good job of that. So thank the Lord for that, your training, that we look at our walking with God, not as did we fail or did we didn't. No, we're training. Training is supposed to bring out your weaknesses so you can change them. It's supposed to bring your strengths out so you can make them stronger. Right? So I thank you, Lord, that she begins to see at a higher level that this whole thing of, you know, I'm in training for the real thing, for the real battle. You can see what's going on with Hezbollah and all this thing. I mean, look how they weren't ready. I mean, look at that. I mean, Israel has the best intelligence agency in the world. I mean, and look, they're killing bunches of people. I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's like more. It's like, you know, so whatever training they were doing at the time, they missed something. And so that's why training is so important. But we don't want to be caught off guard like that. They were caught off guard. And so God wants Regina and being the guardian, if you will, over the family spiritually, even though they may or may not acknowledge things, but being the guardian over to learn how to, in training, how to learn how to be successful at training the best you can, you know, and learn the best so you can be the leader, be a leader in it. And so when the warfare actually is real, when it really is deadly, when things really are going, when there's no longer just training, we're going to be ready. We'll be ready. And that you're going to use her, God, and even the mistakes and things that we make and not doing everything right. That's what training is all about. That's the whole purpose of training, is to perfect us. And so we'll get up in real war, when the real war's on. If we learned in training, we dodge the bullets. We're in the right place at the right time, following orders. We learn how to do, you know, why? Because that there's God's army, and the whole thing is very strategic. We have to learn how to walk in obedience to God. Can't just, you know. So, yeah, so, and the other level of it is that, you know, because we make mistakes. That's what it's all about. We make mistakes and we learn from it, right? We go, oh, my God, I'm weak in that area. I didn't know that I couldn't climb that. I mean, I've climbed things before. I couldn't climb that thing. Oh, my God. So what if I get up in real battle and I can't climb the thing? I'll die. Exactly. So you get those muscles going. You work them. It hurts. It hurts. It's painful. It is. And you become strong in that so that when you actually go to war and you have to climb a thing that you couldn't climb in training, you got prepared in training, you climb it in real war. And instead of being killed, you conquer. So, and the whole thing about training is to expose our weaknesses. Some people think that walking with God means we got to hide our weaknesses because we don't let anybody know that we're weak. No, that's the whole purpose. It's supposed to expose our weaknesses. Why? So we can work on them. Instead of looking at it like, you know, Christians looking at it, we all act like we're in real warfare and that if they get hit by those bullets, they're going to die. You know, instead of saying it's training. You get hit with a bullet, the bullet was rubber. That's not going to kill you. You got this, but it hurts, but you learn. But most Christians, you know, treat people like, you know, well, you're going to kill us all, you know, and you're in training. You're going to kill us all in your training? While you're in training? I don't think so. So it's all to prepare us and make us ready for the real thing. And how to deal with money, how to deal with personalities, how to deal with, you know, making things worse when things go wrong, putting things in the hands of God and learning how to do that, learning how to deal with things, being trained. We're in training. All right. I think that was my last call with your hand up. In fact, that wasn't my last caller. I got one caller. Okay. 11:48, it's almost midnight. So if you want prayer tonight, you can pray for me. Yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff happening, y'all. I mean, I think there's always been stuff happening, but right now, we got the gold and silver thing, you know, kind of behind us in the sense that we're not prepared. We're now prepared and ready for that. That is basically done. Thanks for your prayers on that. That was a really, really big thing. And I feel much more at peace. I'm still buying some, but it's like the bulk of it has been done. So, you know, so listen closely to the show when I'm talking about stuff, because I'm not going to be ringing a big bell and saying, here it is. I do, but it's my way. And so I guess listen closely, because some things I can't say, but I say them in a way that if you're listening closely, you'll might get it. Like if I tell you what I'm doing, you know, for the ministry and for myself, then you go, you know, maybe I should do something like that. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. but you can't give financial advice and that kind of thing. So, all right. Nobody else has their hand up tonight. I'm going to give a few minutes. It's not even when midnight hits, then nobody else will be able to call in. But I know that I can't minister to anybody else because nobody else can call in. The dollar's going to become worthless. And how many of them do we need? You know what I'm saying? That's the big question. If the dollar is going to become basically worthless, then we need to find a way to get out of the dollar and get into something else. And I've told you how one of the ways. All right, I'll be right back. If anybody else raises a hand, we will take them. If not, I will call it a night. All right, y'all. It is almost midnight. All right, everybody, I got into the show, and nobody else has their hand raised. So, all right, God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Have a good one. Bye-bye.